B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we missed you. We missed you over the weekend. Hope you missed us. And we appreciate you getting in early with us. On a Monday edition of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, our 6 a.m. hour. For the early risers, is brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Hopefully you had a great weekend. So many different ways to look at the weekend positively. And then one big sort of pile of dog poop on the Sunday last night gives us a little different storyline to go that way there. But I want to tell you right off the bat today, we begin for the next 10 shows, we begin qualifying you to be taking part in the biggest game show ever to appear on sports radio, where 10 different qualifiers will have a chance not to have their name drawn out of a hat for a trip to Vegas, but will have an opportunity to compete to win a trip to Vegas with us to the NFL draft. PhillySportsTrips.com is running the trip. Round trip airline fare for you and a friend. 3-night stay at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, and passes to 2 all-inclusive draft parties. It is going to be a blast. Jamie, just to put you on alert, draft, just to give you that little heads up, 38 days away from the draft.
Wow.
So this is where we told you we really wanted, when we got into the threes, we wanted the great content to start.
Oh, that's,
Like, okay, so just, and including, I believe, are we going to get the first mock this week, maybe? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, good. We'll get into this. So we got lots of fun coming your way this week. So be sure to stick around. Be listening every hour today for a keyword. You put the 4 keywords together. 20 minutes past every hour if you're listening. I give you a keyword. You take those 4 clues, you put them all together, and you will tell me the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show after 9:30 when we ask for a caller. If you know the memorable moment, you will be the first qualifier for our trip to Las Vegas, and we look forward to that. By the way, did Coach want you to know that the cornea of the eye is the only body part that doesn't have blood supply? It gets its oxygen directly from the air. Just so you know. Why they say dry eye, Coach. That's why people who suffer from dry eye.
This might be something you take to work today and...
Yeah, you could
tell somebody else around the water cooler there.
Yes, that it doesn't have blood supply. You know? So there you go. Just to
it's the more you know, John.
Yeah, it is. It's the more the more you know. Okay, I don't want to start with a bad thing, but it's the most recent thing, and I think it's something that a lot of people went to bed on last night because an 8:30 start, just poor scheduling by the NBA. The NHL decided to put that game on national TV, and that's what screwed it up. Having to put that game at 8:30 last night was a joke on a Sunday night.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Terrible.
I said to Addie, I was like, hey, you know, the Sixers are at 8:30. I'll hang downstairs for a little bit. And she said, 8:30? Who's watching that on a Sunday night?
And the Sixers had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
it was the NHL.
Like, well,
screwed them.
Flyers screwed them.
It really did. Because, you know, you need the Flyers on national TV.
Yeah. What was the NHL thinking there?
Well, they do like that. Well, the way I looked at it is national TV does have a lot of natural disasters every day. They do cover natural disasters.
Good point. People like to watch crashes.
Exactly. Right? So, I mean, I think that, you know, if it bleeds, it leads is usually the headline. Yeah. So, Raptors Sixers last night. And look, a lot of people get up in their feelings. I know our own Tyrone Johnson last night was like, people are panicking. I'm like, I'm not panicking. I'm going to go Dennis Green on you. Is right now, when we found out we had James Harden, we talked about, well, you got 24 games to get it together. You got 24 games to figure out how it works. 24 games to make it work. Well, now you got 11. Now we have 11. And you're only a half game ahead of the Celtics. One half game ahead of the Celtics. And to me, this team continues to play like crap at home. And... they don't, to me, this team doesn't look like, I said, I don't see the confidence to say, yeah, this is a team that's built to go to the conference finals. And watching last night, that was one of the worst shooting games that I can remember seeing in a long time, Bob. And I don't credit it to great defense. Like, I don't think the teams each had bad shooting nights because of great defense.
No.
There was some good defense being played.
Yeah, I mean, decent. Both teams didn't shoot well. But you know what? If you want to dumb it down, it kind of had that playoff feel without the good basketball in that it's a low-scoring game. Every possession means something. You need defensive stops. You need players to come up big in offensive possessions. And the Sixers had none of it. And they didn't come up big in any defensive stops, or you know, rarely. There's so many things about this team right now. And it's not – like I heard somebody call about, oh, and I know the – what was it? It was somebody who was talking about one of the local athletes saying, oh, I hear all the hate on him. Oh, Fletcher Cox.
Hate.
Why can't you just like be honest that this isn't going well, they're not playing well? It's not hate. You're allowed to say somebody's not doing well or a team's not doing well. It doesn't mean you hate them or that you're
correct.
You don't think. Yeah, look, I want to point out some things. Okay, Sixers got out rebounded 56-40 last night.
It was clear.
That's crap.
Day watching that.
They gave up 20 offensive rebounds in a game they lost by 5 points. 20.
That's horrible.
Toronto got the ball back 20 times during the game. Sixers had 5 offensive rebounds. Sixers only turned the ball over 10 times, 6 of them by their point guard, James Harden. 2 offensive fouls at least, 1 key at the end. Tobias Harris, 27 minutes of absolute nothingness where he gives you 5 points. And your bench, last one here, your bench gives you 68 minutes last night because you had to rely on them a little bit because you go at it again tonight. In 68 minutes, they were a combined minus 56.
It's atrocious.
Think of that. When you're somebody on your bench was on the floor, you were a minus 56. That's horrible. And, you know I'm a broken record, and I keep saying, Daryl Morey, great, you came in and you did what everybody wanted you to do, and you got James Harden. You have totally neglected this team for the bench play that you now have entering the playoffs. It's horrible. George Niang last night went 29 minutes. He played more than your starter, Tobias Harris.
And 29 minutes for George.
That's way too much.
If you're saying 20, I'm all in. You're saying 29, I'm not.
No.
I'm not. And this is bad. But that is what Bob's saying, though, Jamie, counts is too, though, is like even Ty, I put this tweet out at the end of the game. Complain all you want about a bad call at the end. Is ignoring the other 47 minutes of misfires. I know, it's just another night, it's just one game, and Ty's like, the panic after every loss is insane. I don't know what panic Tyrone's hearing. I've been saying the same thing all along. This team I don't believe they're built in any way to win a championship. Could they make a run where they get to a Final Four? Sure, you know, conference finals? Absolutely. But to me, it's ridiculous to say that's panic. To me, it's sticking your head in the sand. If you don't think this team has major issues.
Yeah, I mean, look, scoring 37 points in the first quarter and then scoring 51 points the next 3 quarters is less than ideal.
How many times I told you this morning, 51 points over 3 quarters in any game consecutively this year has happened 3 times.
Yeah, I guess they're right on the head. 3.
Three
times.
That's a epically crappy performance. But you got a lot of people who are up in their feelings about the Sixers and like, oh, it's panic. It's panic if you're saying, no, it's a crappy performance. Call it what it is. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
This is a consistent pattern.
I look right or wrong. There's several holes on this team. Rebounding's one of them. The bench is one of them. I look at the most expensive player on the team, and I see a guy that's just, I don't want to say useless, but he's a waste of money. He's a waste of a max contract right now.
And that's not hate on your part.
No, I mean, I think that's a reality. If you gave Tobias truth serum and said, what's going on, man? He'd probably say, yeah, I'm deep in it. I don't know how he pulls himself out of this right now. He's got to start hitting his open shots. That's his only
hope.
That
would be a way to. Yeah. That'd be a great. Jamie, you just came up with it. That'd be a great way for him to do it. But he's averaging 12. D-line, I'm having a number. I think he's averaging 12 since Harden got
it. Yeah, and it's just, I hate to say it's uninspired looking basketball, but I don't feel it from him.
I'll go further, and I don't say this easily. He looks scared.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a couple dribble drives last night where it's like, okay, take him. Take the guy with the dribble. And he's like going near Harden, like, all right, here, you take the ball. 6 seconds to go on the shot clock. I mean, it's a game of Tobias Harris that I haven't seen before. Look, you can play bad, miss shots. Like, Jamie, you bring up shots. He could miss shots or maybe not finish at a rim or something like that. But that's trying. And look, the most damning thing you can say about somebody is that they're not trying, and I'm not saying that. But he looks scared to try.
I was always told that for a scorer, that the further you move down the pecking order, Pat, that's supposed to be where you feel more comfortable. When Tobias Harris being asked to be the number 2 guy as a scoring option wasn't fair to him. You move him back, he's supposed to be better. He's supposed to be more comfortable.
I'm at a loss of words when it comes to them. As the ad on my computer goes off. I don't know what's up with him. I don't know if it's scared is the right word. I think he just looks scared to be the weak link, scared to take a shot, knowing that Joel Embiid and James Harden are on the court, and those guys have a better probably percentage of hitting a shot than he does. I don't know. I mean, I'm leaning more and more towards Jamie a couple weeks ago when the trade went down, bringing up the question of, do you trade Tobias Harris in the offseason? I think I was
ASAP.
I think at the time I was like on the fence about it. Now I'm ASAP.
Yeah,
but do you go after another star or do you get bench pieces? Like, there's holes all over the place, but Tobias Harris is like that roadblock right now that's keeping you, I think, from improving. And unfortunately, you can't do it until the offseason.
And when he's playing like the way he's playing, and you want to keep some of the starters on with the second unit, you can't even trust him with that now. You know, so the second unit's coming in, and yeah, you want to keep either a Harden or an Embiid, but then also you want to keep a Tobias Harris out there because you want a known scorer to be out there with your second unit that isn't full of scorers. And you just don't have that. I mean, you had Danny Green. What? As soon as I say Danny Green's name, what's the first thing you think of?
Podcast.
Shooter.
Corner three.
Like, yeah, a shooter. He played 16 minutes last night and got two shots.
Oh, jeez.
Two shots in 16 minutes. What the hell are you out there for if you're not shooting the ball?
He's getting ready for the podcast, Bob. He's trying to focus for his podcast.
In the green room.
Got to get in the green room. Oh, my gosh.
Is it true yesterday he checked in with a walker?
I don't know what it is. He does have the life alert bracelet around his neck, though.
He just looks like Father Time.
Oh, my gosh.
Beating his kidneys in.
Pat? Why kidneys?
That's an important organ.
There you go. Hey, speeding puts you, your passengers, and others on the road at risk. So why don't you slow down and save a life? Be safe, PA. More at penndot.pa.gov/safety. See that, Bob? Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Not easy, is it?
It is. It's not easy. Yeah. Every time I do it, I get like a cold sweat. I'm like Tobias Harris with an open shot. I feel like there's that anxiousness. All right, we started with some negativity, but we had to. The Sixers gave that to us. So now positivity. The splash. The excitement. The move. The Phillies go out and get Nick Castellanos, and they love him. And they love him. They love him. They love the move. And this was the player John Middleton said he was waiting for. He's willing to make he was willing to go over when he could make the case that this is the kind of player. I think Dave Dombrowski was able, as a established baseball figure, Jamie, to be able to say to him, spend the money. I think that having him instead of Klentak, having a guy like Dombrowski say, no, this is the kind of move that can give us two or three more wins, get us in.
Yeah, I read the Matt Gelb piece yesterday on The Athletic about how this all went down, and I took a screenshot of this line. To your point, Castellanos was the difference-making player in Dombrowski's estimation. In the 15 months since the Phillies hired Dombrowski as president of baseball operations, one thing above all else had become clear. His word was gospel among the ownership group.
I love that.
There is unquestioned trust in his evaluations.
I love that you hire an executive and you trust his expertise.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Hire the people.
And then if he fails, you get rid of him.
You hire good people to do their jobs and you let them do their jobs.
Here's the only thing I have a question about that whole story, and I don't know if anybody else caught it. The word seems to be that from the ownership group, Castellanos was the guy that was the difference maker. Why wasn't he signed first?
I guess in addition to, right?
Yeah, that's what was weird to me, because it seems like, well, Castellanos was the guy that they really, really wanted.
Yeah, it's almost like Schwarber got downplayed and he was the first move.
And first move. I was a little surprised by that, hearing that.
Yeah, I thought it too, but then I just went to...
there were two bidders on him.
Maybe they had a game plan all along that we just don't know about. I don't know, but
allude to that, you know, talking about the Boris angle how Boris works, and they knew that Nick loved Philadelphia. So they had that in their back pocket, too.
Wait, what?
An athlete? Pat.
Loves Philadelphia.
Sit down, because the big, meanie fans that boo from time to time.
Yeah, we boo sometimes.
Some players love it here, Pat.
Nick? No.
He's Pat, they cool. do. No,
I've
they
been
do,
told
Pat.
That they don't.
He wanted to come here.
Pat, they do.
He didn't.
They really do.
Didn't
and you know
want to come here.
And you know what? His bidding was down to the only two serious bidders. It appeared as of midweek, the only two serious bidders for him were the Miami Marlins and the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's from Miami.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, I want to go. I admire that, and I said it before about Castellanos, that to me, That was a guy that I wanted him to show that he wanted to be a winner. Because if he went home to Miami, I'd be like, what are you doing? You're just going for the money. He went to try to be a winner.
Yeah, it's great. And it's a bargain of a deal. Look, Dombrowski got Schwarber and Castellanos for the same price as Chris Bryant, which...
Less.
Yeah, less.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's unbelievable.
I love it.
And I wonder, do you believe they knew that?
Yes. After reading that piece, it felt like they knew what the market was and they knew he liked it here and...
No, but they knew that they could get both of them for less than...
I think so.
I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe if you... Because if you had asked any... If we had done the topic, okay, going into free agency. Hey, Phillies fans, do you want Chris Bryant or do you want Castellanos and Schwarber?
Yeah.
It would have been a poll of 100%. If we put up poll questions, and don't do it, Pat, it would have been 100%.
Well, polls are skewed anyway because Pee Wee won on Friday, and that's not right.
Pee Wee won decisively.
Decisively?
A 6-point victory?
That's not decisive in a Twitter poll. See, the problem. You don't do Twitter polls.
That's why I don't do
that's
them.
The problem.
They're very unscientific. They're very unscientific
There's
is what
a
they
lot
are.
Of pro Sandlot people. I think that you paid for some bamboo bots that
I did in the
inbox.
Yes, exactly. Some of them listen to radio stations too in town. You never ever know.
Yeah.
Hey, DryTech waterproofing, protect your home with DryTech waterproofing solutions. Fanatic listeners receive 15% off when you mention Mike Missinelli. He's saving you cash. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust the experts at DryTech, drytechcorp.com. All I know is I am just, I have a renewed, Schwarber was fun the other day, but it moved the needle a little bit for me.
I felt like...
I feel completely... I have a completely different feel for this Philly season.
You know, Bryce Harper woke up Saturday morning to the news with Bryson Stott over coffee, and he said to him, it's a good day to be a Philly. I felt the same way, except you could just put the fan on the end of that. It's a good day to be a Phillies fan.
Correct.
It's awesome.
I felt like I was 12 years old again. As soon as I heard it, I wrote down every player position and like, all right, what's the lineup? What's a lineup that you could have going on? Because... That's where you are. That's the excitement now. I mean, you could have Gene Segura hitting six and Bohm like eighth, seventh or eighth.
Which could really benefit him.
Absolutely, it could. Yeah, no question about it.
Get him comfortable. Austin Riley is someone that Jamie points to. Austin Riley got sent down to the minors. After having a great rookie run, he got sent to the minors in his second season. Then he comes back with a renewed and he's batting seventh in the lineup when he comes back. And Austin talks about it. He felt the pressure was off him. And he was swinging comfortably and getting into a groove. And then he kept moving up the lineup a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, he could have two professional hitters right in front of him. Like, if you go your first five in the order of some kind of a combination of Schwarber, Harper, Castellanos, Hoskins, and Real Muto, you could go Segura and D.D. Gregorius in front of Bohm. Now, Segura, for whatever you want to say, he's a professional baseball hitter.
Sure he is.
D.D. was, you know, wasn't as good as he usually is, but the guy's been around. Alec Bohm could have those two guys directly in front of him. I agree with you, John. You said it last week, too. That could take a lot of pressure off of him.
Also, too, I look at it this way, and I know it'll never happen with D.D., Pat, but I look at it as a lineup like this allows you to play a guy like Bryson Stott and to let him get comfortable to play it at the back end of a lineup. Like, I know they won't do it with Didi's money. Yeah,
they won't. That's not just Didi's money. It's the relationship that Didi has with Joe Girardi, too. I don't know. I read that Gelb piece, and he seems to think that they really believe he's going to contribute this year.
Okay.
I
believe a lineup like this allows a guy like Bryson Stott to feel...
I think after his,
feel comfortable.
What is it, the Super 2 arbitration race?
Is it May 1st now?
Yeah, like I think
there's some new date or...
Yeah, I think he's going to be up then.
I hope so.
I don't really want him up. Honestly, I don't want him with him, though.
Tell me why.
I don't want him sitting on the bench and getting one start every 5 days because Joe Girardi has a man crush on D.D. Gregorius and he can't quit him.
How about if you play D.D. Gregorius till like Memorial Day and then you cut bait?
If he's not, I got to be fair.
If Didi was playing like 2020 Didi, maybe he could return to that.
Yeah, and I think
he might.
I think there's somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last year, but I do think he's going to be good enough to keep Bryson Stott in AAA.
Okay.
For a majority of the season.
You know, it would almost be ideal though, Pat, if that happens.
Yeah, because great.
then it means that
I mean I don't want to
well then it means that Didi's doing his thing too.
I don't want to have to rely on a rookie.
Yeah,
I just don't.
I'm excited. It changed my excitement level completely.
Oh my god,
this season.
Yeah,
it's very very fun. Even brought out the Phillies tumbler today. Make sure we get
there. You go. That's what you know. You made it.
Little bit. You get the tumbler.
Yeah.
Prime tumbler. I was going to. I had the Sixers tumbler out on the counter.
Nah.
Before I went out to. We had Molly's baptism yesterday. Welcome, Molly.
What do you say, Molly?
Thing I had the Sixers tumbler out, and I went boom, put it in the cabinet.
51 points in 3 quarters. No Sixers.
That's
tumbler.
That's terrible. Yeah. 17 points a quarter, averaging over 3 quarters.
Yeah.
That
was frustrating last night. I think I was so tired by 8:30, having watched probably 4 games already, and I would have been jumping off the couch normally if that was 7 o'clock. I was just resigned to, wow, this is horrible. This is really bad.
It was a horrible game.
And you know what?
Game.
You know what really pissed me off too about their effort is I feel like I'm watching freshman basketball again where I just shout out, go after the ball, grab the ball. Where's your effort? Go after the damn basketball.
20 offensive rebounds?
Yeah, I mean, there's loose balls. They play a privileged game at times. Oh, I'm James Harden. I'm Joel Embiid. I don't have to go after that ball. I tell you what. Here's another thing I can't stand if I'm Doc Rivers. Stop looking for a foul call. If you look for a foul call and it's not called, I'm fining you $1,000 every time. If you stop and put your hands up in the air while the ball's going the other way and
that's
you're looking
James
for a call
Joel.
By the way, I can't stand it anymore.
All right. You want to go to Vegas with us? For the next 10 days, this is the game for you. 20 minutes past the hour, I give you a word. Well, tomorrow, Bob's going to give you a word. Wednesday, Jamie's going to give you a word. Thursday, Pat's going to give you a word. Friday, Coach is going to give you a word. Every hour at the 20 mark, roughly, we give you a clue. You add the 4 clues together. And then after 9:30, we ask you to call in. If you can tell us the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show that we are referencing, you will end up with a fantastic opportunity to participate in the biggest game show that has ever appeared on sports radio for a trip to Vegas for you and a friend. Here's clue number one. Wings. Wings. That's the clue. You know that for now. There'll be another clue coming up in an hour. Look forward to having you hang with us all day long.
Tim Daly.
This guy, it's not. This guy decided he only wanted to go to one place. He had his right. He also has a right to be called on it. It's the John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Hey, the all-new Bet Parks app is finally here. I love this thing. It is streamlined. It's beautiful. It is easy to use. And best part about it is it's Bet Parks PA and Bet Parks NJ. It's two apps in one, too. You get the sports book, you get the casino, all in one. You can download it now or just go to betparks.com. It is the only sports book and casino app that I've been recommending to you. And everything is all in one place. Easy to use, simple to navigate, fun to play. And with the NCAA tournament heading to the Sweet 16, Sixers with another huge game tonight against the Miami Heat. You can get in right now. Sportsbook and casino all in one, simple, safe to use, fast withdrawals, and PayPal functionality too, which makes it even easier. You're going to absolutely love it, and you get a risk-free bet right now too. You get a free bet for existing users too, $20 in the casino or $20 on a sports bet. It's the new Bet Parks app. Use the promo code Kincaid for that risk-free bet. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. You can schedule a free consultation today at paworkinjury.com. Violation or not violation? You remember the maid storyline on Seinfeld? Remember, Jerry ended up like messing with the maid? On
Jerry, yeah, and then she stopped doing the work.
No, Jerry did. Yeah, Jerry started, like, you're thinking of the other one. You're thinking of the man at the hotel.
What am I paying you for?
Yes. So
basically, a prostitute now.
Thanks to our friends. Thanks to our friends at Royal Billiards, I got the arcade game like we have in the lobby here. I have it for the house. So the maids came on Friday. So they come once a month just to make sure Christina doesn't come home when she moves here. She doesn't come to a dirty place. Mm-hmm. I come home on Friday and I said, you know what? I'm going to go downstairs, play a little video game. And I walk over to the machine. I've only played two games on it. Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. Haven't touched any other game. I go to the machine and it's up to Donkey Kong. And then I see there's a score posted on Donkey Kong. So the maids are there playing Donkey Kong.
I probably would be too.
Now I'm like, surprised.
If I was
now,
a maid.
Now it's like, so my wife goes, well, you can't see a video game that doesn't charge quarters and not play it.
Yeah.
And
she's
I was got
like,
a point.
Yeah, like, she you can't.
It's hard.
You can't. You see it, it'd be fun. And they had never seen it before because it wasn't there before.
So the question is, when you entered the house, was there anything that you looked at and you said, man, they missed this, they missed that? I.e., like, they didn't do their job.
No, they did a pretty good job.
Then let them play.
No, they did.
Let the boy watch.
Hey, what do you think there, Coach? Is that a violation or what?
Well, the other question is, are they getting paid by the hour or by the cleaning?
By the cleaning.
Okay. Well, then it's fine.
So they're getting paid by the hour and they're spending time playing arcade games.
No, that's good. I think it's fun. But
nah, let them play.
Donkey Kong, I don't even know if I could beat the score that they put up.
Coach could.
Coach could?
Yeah, no, coach is.
I never understood Donkey Kong.
What do you mean?
Kong's the gorilla, right? Throwing the barrels.
I think it's like John Kincaid, like Donkey Kong.
Who's Donkey?
No, his first name. The full name. The first name's Donkey.
Donkey
name
is
Kong.
The name of his.
Yeah. He was the dumbass. So they did a mean trick on him when he was born.
They named him Donkey.
You're an ass.
Of the Kong brothers and sisters, he was the dumbass.
He was the Donkey.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I didn't really get that.
The Kong brothers.
Of the Kong family. Hey, the Sixers pregame show, Beers with Bob edition tonight, comes from Fairmount Avenue in Philadelphia, Bobby.
Yeah, Urban Saloon, 21st and Fairmount. Good time, sponsored by Corona. I believe we'll have Sixers tickets to give away again tonight, which we do every Beers with Bob.
Right across the street from the Eastern State Pen.
Yeah.
Just make it easy for people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, come on out. Chunas won't be with me tonight because he's got stuff going on. But guess who's going to be joining me, John?
Who's that?
How about that? Connor Thomas said he's going to come out and say
awesome.
Hi. So maybe we'll, say hi to Connor on air. But
I understand.
Yeah, good times tonight.
I always know that some of my divorced friends over the years from my life in the business world would love the Urban Saloon. They would love to go in there after they were back on the market. They liked the Urban Saloon.
It's a good spot.
They liked it. They checked it on out. So Claude Giroux's gone. And I want to preface any comments that I make with this. He had a no-trade clause, so he had every right to do whatever he wanted to do. But I went back and looked at other stars that at the end of their career were being traded. Legendary names. And just one in hockey just jumped out the page to me. Ray Bourque got traded from Boston so they could get something for him so he could cup chase, and he went to Colorado and won a Stanley Cup. Ray Bourque gave the Boston Bruins three teams. Said, there's three cities I'd go to. Pick one. Get your best deal and get me a trade. Claude Giroux didn't do the Flyer any favors. According to all reports, he would only accept a deal to the Florida Panthers. Look, it is his right. I absolutely acknowledge it. He has the right to do that. But it's clear he didn't give a damn over what the Flyers got in return. And to me, for one of the all-time greats of a franchise to do that, he has the right to do it. But I have the right to call it out as a selfish act. Completely selfish. And that's my thoughts on it. Give two locations you'd go to. Give three. Whatever it is.
Nah.
You don't have to stay there.
He doesn't owe them anything. Screw them. This organization is a disaster. It's been a disaster for 45 years. It's ridiculous. They gave him no players to play with during his time here. One of the greatest players in hockey during his tenure. And he didn't surround them with anything. He doesn't owe them jack diddly crap. So I don't think Giroux did it as a screw you to the Flyers, but I think he did. Look, I gave 15 years of my life, heart and soul to this team, and they gave him nothing in return, nothing. Coaches upon coaches upon coaches, failed players by his side after failed players, no goalies until Carter Hart. Like, I'm so out on this organization. I can't crap on them enough. So good for you, Claude. You got to go where you wanted to go. You don't know them a thing.
I was kind of left with a little sour taste. You know, it's not something I'm going to froth at the mouth and yell about. But yeah, like.
Yeah, I mean.
Really, one team.
One team. Go make.
Don't trade him.
Go make your best deal with one team. They have to get something.
Well, then he's
for
a free agent.
He's walking away.
Pat, you know way better than me. What did they get for him? I know the names.
A
but
first
like,
round pick in 3 years, a second rounder this year. And,
yeah, they got.
Owen Trippett, baby.
Like, how would you categorize it? They got blank, one word for Giroux.
I can't do one word. I'll do a couple, though. They got
something,
a
nothing?
Decent package, all things considering.
And they got a decent.
All things. And the considering is the fact that he gave you one team.
Which is really sad.
I mean, the fact that, like, I know the first round pick in 2024 or 5, whenever it is, you know, people, like, fans will laugh at it. But the fact is, like, they didn't have a first round pick for the next 2 years. And when the guy gives you literally one team, and that team doesn't have a first or second round pick this year, they don't have a first round pick next year. Yeah, it's like, all things considering for a rental, they did pretty well. Obviously, Tippett's going to really decide the return on this package. He former 10th overall pick. He's never really gotten the opportunity, but when he has gotten ice time, he hasn't really performed up to his junior numbers. So we're either going to find out if he's actually like the real deal in Philly, because he's going to have an opportunity to be a top six forward, or if he's going to be the guy that bounces around for the next 8 years and people keep wondering if he's going to, you know, click for him. But
is he Dave Tippett's kid?
I don't know.
Have to look that
I
up.
I know that
he's got to
use SPF 5000 when he goes out in the sun, because my God, he must fry.
A little pasty.
Oh my God, yeah. I remember him getting drafted because he stuck out so much, because my God, he must spend a lot of time indoors. You know, it's just
drink a lot of milk, stays indoors.
Yeah, but
he's like veal.
What, he's a McPoyle?
He's like veal.
Yeah, he just gets stuck in a rink, and that's it. And don't go out. But all things considering, they got a decent package.
And again, he had every right, Claude Giroux had every right to do what he did. And I got every right to rip him for it. So, I mean, both statements are true. Hey, and the linchpin, Jamie's saying back-to-back? What? Maybe. Maybe he is. It's all frozen.
Maybe
up.
Not.
It's frozen up. So wait, it's like
hey, it's me, Jamie. I'm here.
It's Jamie. Yes.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey guys. Jamie. Yeah, I was thinking yesterday. You know, of all the stars kind of flooding Philadelphia here over the last 2 or 3 months, we've been lucky from not only a selfish standpoint of our jobs, but just our teams getting a lot better. It's.
This is the linchpin.
Got it, boys. We got it.
Yeah, we got them. Bryce Harper is the MVP of the National League. Joel Embiid is soon to be the MVP of the National Basketball Association. It's not a coincidence that they drew stars here. James Harden came running here. He wanted out of Brooklyn, and he wanted to be here. Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber came here. Toronto apparently was in on Schwarber, but he chose Philadelphia over Toronto.
Taxes. One.
Sure.
Slightly better. That's here. Slightly better.
Yeah, slightly better. Yes. Nick Castellanos could have gone home to Florida and been in, you know, glorious weather all year long and not really competed. But
no state tax, too.
Yeah, he came here. And it's because we have MVPs. I mean, in my lifetime, I tallied it up. You had Lindros in 95, AI in 01, and then you had Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins back-to-back in 06, 07. That's it. I've only had really four in my life.
Bryce Harper.
Oh, well that he's part of this conversation.
He's part of this one.
Well, let's not forget him.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, Pat.
Jamie.
Yes.
Do you even know sports?
So we've had two back-to-back guys now. I've only had four in my life. It's like an embarrassment of riches. And they're attracting other stars. It's pretty awesome. I've never experienced this. I don't think many people have. Where you had two guys at the same time, MVPs of their sport. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is.
If it's bringing in other people, it's absolutely cool. And
yeah, like,
that's the reason. Like,
if you're not betting on it, obviously people don't care about awards. But if you're attracting stars,
that's the only thing that matters to me. I agree with you. You hit it on the head. I don't care who wins MVPs. And look, Joel Embiid could win an MVP, and they could lose in the second round again. Who cares? But if you are the reason James Harden came here, if you are the reason a Castellanos or a Schwarber decided to sign here, then yeah. Great. Keep going and getting those star players and get more of them, because This city needs more of them.
Because you're too young, but in, I believe, 10th grade, in one school year, I saw Phillies win the World Series, Eagles go to the Super Bowl, Sixers and Flyers both play in the finals.
That was 80?
In one year, it was 81, I believe.
81,
and
yeah.
You know who paid for it? Jamie's generation.
Why? Because why?
Because you enjoyed the riches, but you gotta pay the toll.
Well, they only won one. On the back only end. Won one title.
Yeah,
then.
you gotta pay on the back end, and you gotta suck through the '90s. And poor Jamie over there had to.
Poor Jamie got that.
Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah,
he got John Felsky out of the deal.
Who?
Yeah. See?
Oh yeah.
There you go. He got Jim Fregosi, that genius of baseball, too.
Cool.
There you go. Don't be such an ungrateful SOB, Pat.
The Felsky files?
Yeah, there you go.
No, I mean, I'm fine. I
there you go. You had better. Jamie did get the sandwich of crap.
Yeah.
Right in the middle there.
Yeah,
there you go. He did.
It was a rough upbringing. It's amazing I'm still a Philadelphia sports fan.
Well, you had... The Flyers were really good in your upbringing.
Yeah, I had the Legion.
Really good.
Yeah.
I understand why you drink... I wouldn't say you drink heavily, but you drink the strong stuff.
And you missed a lot of the crap of Eagles football. You've had great Eagles football, so to me, the most important thing... Your lifetime...
What year were you born?
I was born in 81.
Jamie, when you started paying attention to Eagles football, you were... Buddy Ryan would have been the earliest. Ryan. Then you had great Eagles... You've had great Eagles football. So get out the world's tiniest violin.
Well,
I disagree with that.
95 through 2000 was like my formative years, and they sucked.
Well, they made the playoffs a couple times.
Yeah, but like they weren't.
They didn't. No, they didn't suck. They weren't the Detroit Lions.
They beat the Detroit Lions.
98 they were. Exactly.
But my foundation was a great all-time defense that didn't do squat.
I was
indoctrinated
the
right way.
You've had the best Eagles run that Pat's really had.
Pat really had it.
Pat and Chunas and them, you guys have had, they've had the best. But still, though, you had
90s
you had a,
was rough.
You had a, no, 90s was not rough for Eagles. The 70s were rough.
What age?
80s were rough.
What age do you remember really becoming a football fan? And I'm not talking like you watch the games, but I'm talking you understand.
76.
How old are you?
Fifth grade.
Okay.
So Dick Vermeil.
Okay.
Dick Vermeil as a young coach getting started. After that, I remember the early years of Dick Vermeil, and I just remember, though, at the time being more of a football fan than a diehard Eagles fan. I was an Eagles fan, but I was more of a diehard watching the NFL and getting into the NFL.
I was probably the same. I was like 10 when I started to really understand the game.
That's about where I really started to...
Because that's the thing, like, Jamie was born in 81, so ignore the first 10 years. So really, he really started...
91.
Yeah, 91-ish.
Yes.
Randall.
And then he can go on.
Randall was my favorite player.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Jaws. Bars. We had Jaws, too, and, you know, people rode Jaws terribly. The Polish rifle took a lot of bullets in this.
Now they ride.
Took
golf,
a lot of hits back park. There. Too.
He did.
My God, that guy got crushed every game.
He's one of the toughest guys, and he just kept getting up.
Oh God, the beating that he took. Lawrence Taylor would come into a game against the Eagles just smiling from 10 o'clock in the morning for the rest of the day, knowing he was going to hit Jaworski about 10 times.
Interviewed one time in a conversation about Phil Sims, and he was like, "John, I realize you've got some PTSD from." Growing up an Eagles fan, he goes, poor Ron Jaworski. He said how much respect he had for Ron Jaworski. He said Ron Jaworski would get up and get up and get up.
Oh, he just kept killed.
And people would root for Joe Pisarcik to come in. They would want the backup quarterback like he had anything to do with it.
How many golf courses does Joe Pisarcik have?
I don't think any. Exactly. I don't think I've ever golfed on a Joe Pisarcik course.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Come on now.
I mean, I heard he owned a couple of mini golf courses down the shore, but they all went under.
But you liked them, though?
Underwater?
Were they good?
One wasn't bad.
One wasn't bad?
The rest of them sucked.
Magic Mountain? Did they have Magic Mountains?
I don't remember. They weren't very good.
Hey, Bob says sometimes things are just too easy. Now, I sort of liked it when things were too easy.
Not this way.
What's that?
You know, like, watching this Sixers team over the last... 5, 6, and a lot of the year, it's just unbelievable to me how easy things are for the opponents at times. Look, the Sixers, as I said to you guys on St. Patrick's Day, we're at the Irish Horn, the Sixers are going to win games on talent. There's no doubt about that. And they should have won it last night on talent, even though they didn't play all that well. But they're going to win a lot of games on talent, but they're going to need some other things to jump in there for them to win a game. They're either going to have to be tough, smart, or just out-hustle other teams. They don't do any of those three. None of those three. And it's starting to drive me crazy because it is getting to be so easy for other teams to play against the Sixers. Take away James Harden, Joel Embiid, which is an impossible task. But if you can solely set your mind on that, it's going to be very hard for the Sixers to do anything offensively like we saw last night with them scoring 51 points over the last three quarters. Look and watch a Sixers game. Watch how many wide open jump shots the other team gets. I'm not talking like pull up, you know, you kind of maybe crossover dribble and then you step back jump. Watch how many times the other team swings a ball and just gets wide open jump. The Sixers defense is basically, I hope they miss. And then if they don't miss, they're going to get another shot because we give up 20 offensive rebounds a game. That drives me nuts. And all of that to me speaks to effort. I like what Doc Rivers did on Friday night. Did they play Friday? And I think you and I texted about it, John, was he went to a zone defense.
I was asking Bob.
And it was against a Western Conference team and a good Western Conference team. And something that I called for last week, I said, hey, you have Denver coming in here. Why don't you try doing that against them? You can try out your zone defense against a team you're not going to see in the playoffs, so they're not going to have it on tape, all that. So he finally did it Friday night. It was okay. The zone was okay. Right. It was something different.
But I liked seeing it. Like,
so did I.
Right.
So, and if like you could do it more again, I would love for it to be a matchup zone, which would be so much easier, and guys wouldn't be running all over the place. But still, even when they did that, just concentrate on this for me as you're watching Sixers game. Again, how many wide open jump shots other teams get. It is unbelievable.
And if you wonder where, Jamie, you're going to miss Ben Simmons, that's where it is. Perimeter defense. This team's perimeter defense is awful.
Yeah, they need some athletes.
They went from being one of the best to being one of the worst.
There was a play last night.
And that's with Thybulle still being.
Where James Harden got, and I'm not doing this just to pick on James, I couldn't believe what I was watching. Where it was a foul line extended pick on James Harden's guy and a roll straight down the lane. And it was like he didn't even try. He just fully conceded the roll, and it was a simple lob pass over his head and an easy layup. And I just went, now I know it's the NBA, and I know stars don't want to get in foul trouble, but really, man? Really? It was in the second quarter. I want to go back and find it and show you guys. My jaw was actually on my coffee table. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the effort just wasn't there.
They play a game of privilege at times that really annoys the hell out of me. And that's only because I watch the game differently because I need to be a perfectionist watching the game because I wasn't that good at the game. You know what I mean? Like, I need to see these guys be perfect because they have the ability to be perfect.
Right.
And when I see a ball come off a rim and I see Joel Embiid look at it, and a 6'5 guy comes in on the other team and grabs it, or a James Harden like Jamie just said, or a loose ball that's getting fumbled around and I get max effort from three guys on the other team and none from the Sixers, you can't play that privileged basketball. Sorry, you are one of the most talented teams in the league, but you ain't that talented.
You can have, in my opinion, you can have like one or the other, but you can't have both. You can suck on defense, but you better rebound. You can suck at rebounding, but you better be somewhat decent on defense. They're horrible at both. It's frustrating. Like, you're right. Like, they'll let wide open shots go down and then not even fight for a rebound. The only way they get rebounds is if the ball either
falls
comes right to them or if the other team basically just gives up and just starts running back on defense.
They don't box out.
They don't at all.
No.
And Friday night, I asked Bob about that. And I also was asking him about the Shake Milton. I've never seen a player that actually dribbles the basketball as high as he does.
He's lost his ability.
It's all up to
play.
It's as high as his. It goes up above his waistband.
It's not tight.
No,
it's not tight, and that's bad. And as a defender, look, there's limited amount of times that a player doesn't have control of a basketball, and it's from when the ball leaves his hand to hit the floor, and the ball comes back up to his hand after he's dribbling. You have that whole area as a defender. That's where you want to go after the basketball if you so choose. That's why you see the best dribblers, and you see with Harden, the ball is low to the floor because it gives the defender little chance.
Mid-thigh, right?
This Shake Milton, look, I'm sorry, and I'm not just being a downer on the Sixers today. He's a borderline NBA player. And yes, that's what he is right now. And
that old John Stockton,
not good enough.
The old John Stockton video. There used to be they used to do these little instructional video things with NBA stars where they would show like on like So they'd have John Stockton and Karl Malone doing a little thing where they'd show people, and then they do and John Stockton talked about mid-thigh.
He went to Gonzaga. Yeah.
And he's like, he went to Gonzaga, too. He was at mid-thigh. Keep the ball mid-thigh. Don't go above your mid-thigh.
Go Zogs.
Shakes up like near his nipples.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
Seriously.
He got zapped by the Monstars or something. He's lost his ability to play NBA basketball.
I'm not even calling him Shake anymore. His mama named him Malik, so I'm calling him Malik.
Yeah, but you can't have Malikisms.
He's got to earn Shake back because he's been so bad.
Malikisms?
Yeah, Malikisms.
Unless the Eagles draft Malik Willis, I don't know that that's happening.
Yeah, Malikisms. We can just throw that in the Baxter.
Hey, remember, 7:20 today will be the second clue. You collect all the clues 20 minutes past the hour every single day this week and next. Your opportunity, if you can put the clues together, the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show that we're referencing, you do that, you're going to qualify to be in the game show of all game shows to win a chance to win a trip to Vegas for the draft. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up at the top of the next hour, James Harden said what? I'm absolutely floored by this. It's the John Kincaid Show. Find out what it is next here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I want you to hire a lawn care service this time around. I want you to trust experts because your lawn has looked like crap. And Natural Lawn of America wants to fix that. Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company, has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds since 1987. And they do not take a cookie cutter lawn care approach. They specialize and tailor their applications to your lawn's specific needs. Does your neighbor's lawn have more shade than yours? Well, then you need a different approach. Their approach has reduced pesticide use by 85%, which creates a safer lawn for your family and pets to enjoy. And they're locally owned and family operated right here in the Delaware Valley, so you can be doing business with locals and friends. Stop compromising safety with other lawn care outfits. It's time you get the results you want with a fantastic deal right now. Natural Lawn of America has a limited time offer. You get free seeding every year. I'm not kidding you. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED, F-R-E-E-D, 800-F-R-E-E-S-E-E-D. Choose my lawn care company. It's Natural Lawn of America, where you get greener grass and fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our 7 a.m. hour brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of the show. Tell your family, tell your friends. 7:20 today. We'll give you the second clue. You put all the clues together, and then after 9:30, I'm going to say, call us up and tell us what the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show is that I am referencing. You had to be listening in the first hour to get the first clue. Second clue comes your way at 7:20. You will qualify to be in the biggest game show ever with a trip to Las Vegas on the line for you and a friend. And you will actually, we're not drawing out of a hat. We're not saying, okay, we're going to just pick a winner out of the qualifiers. You're actually going to compete and have a 1 in 10 chance to go to Vegas with you and a buddy.
It's the Hunger Games, right? We're doing in the parking lot?
Very similar to that.
Flight to the Death.
Very similar to that. Those movies?
I did, yeah. Did like them.
I did the set tour of that.
I had a bad movie-going experience in the last
one. Happened?
I had a 10-year-old behind me doing color commentary.
Oh, no.
Like, legitimately thought he was Steve Coates.
Oh, no. So he was having a cocktail and he was doing color commentary?
Yeah. Well, there was a bar.
In his fanny pack.
But, like, it was simple things of, like, the cat jumping onto a bunch of plates, and he would yell, like, that's so-and-so's cat. And I'm like, dude, come on.
Oh, my God.
Then someone brought a baby into the theater.
To the Hunger Games?
Yes. Yeah, I swear to God. Yeah.
Brought a baby to the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything Jennifer Lawrence is in, I can watch.
You're a fan.
She's, yeah.
I said they're doing a... Pat, did you know they're doing a theme park up near where they have the set of Ozark.
Okay.
They're doing a where they filmed Ozark. They're doing a theme park of the Hunger Games.
Okay.
Where you're actually you can actually go and you can and they have different things that are
interesting choice to have a theme park which usually attracts children to go to a theme park about a movie series where children kill.
Well, they're doing it more for teens, but they're actually doing the theme park.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of teens in the Hunger Games that killed
people
and murdered and
Isn't that fun?
All for the enjoyment.
Isn't that great?
The district.
Okay, so I saw this note on Saturday after the 76ers game versus the Mavericks where they played so well, and I can't get last night's terrible taste out of my mouth. And James Harden's asked about his future, and he says, I can definitely see myself in Philadelphia long term. What?
Yeah, it caught my attention too.
James Harden? So it is not a guarantee that he's staying. That's a message that he still wants to play the free agency game. Like he wants to drive up the price and, you know, on this. I thought this was they didn't sign the extension because this was a deal that he had a handshake agreement with Daryl Morey. And now he's like, yeah, I could see myself staying here. I'm telling you right now, if James Harden walks and the Sixers haven't made a real run at the title this year, and I mean getting to the conference finals, this is going to go down as a complete clown show. Complete mess. Disaster if he walks away. There is no reason for him to use that wording at all. And I was shocked. And he went into, he elaborated on it immediately. Yeah, I could see myself staying here. What the hell, Bob? I mean, what is this?
Than I'm saying I don't see myself staying here. Let's look at it that way.
But
I don't know how the question was put out there, whether they said, you know, finish your career here. Or I don't know what the surroundings of it all were. It could be as innocuous as that. James, do you think you're going to retire a Sixer? Oh, I could see myself being here for a while. You know, it could be as innocuous as that. It could be deeper as to what you're going towards, John. But it didn't really catch me the way it caught you two.
Noticed the words, and I was like, huh.
That's particular words. I could see myself staying here. What that tells me is...
What if he said it in a way, I could see myself being here for a while.
I could see myself staying here in Philadelphia. That means to me, if the situation's right, I can see myself staying here. Are they paying me top dollar? Are they... Like, I thought this was a done deal. If this deal is a rental player with James Harden, this sucks.
Yeah.
And I'll say it right now, sucks.
I don't think it is, but it was kind of a weird way to say that.
Isn't it weird?
A little bit, yeah.
Doesn't make me feel great.
Isn't it a weird... Now, I realize I absolutely have a weakness with being obsessed with how people, what words they use. So maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, I don't think you are with this situation.
I don't think I am either, but I want to put that out there because I acknowledge that I am I sometimes wordsmith things to death.
Yeah, and we'll usually call you on it when we think it's applicable. I don't think it is with this situation. I think he will end up signing. You know, his relationship with Daryl Morey is too strong. With all of that said, it is concerning because this would be the second quote-unquote superstar that they traded for who was on an expiring contract. When they traded for him, it was understood that he would sign an extension, and then he doesn't sign an extension. And the first one being Jimmy Butler.
Correct.
When they traded for Jimmy Butler, you can go look at Woj's tweets about it. It's, you know, and this is supposed to be a marriage.
Jimmy
a
found a
thing.
Home. Yep, yes, and all this that. Crap.
And then, I don't know if everyone's aware, but Jimmy's not here anymore. You know, he went to Miami.
I thought he was here.
No, he left.
Ben got in his feelings.
Ben and Brett.
Wait, whoa. He also got in his feelings.
Who, Jimmy?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if I was told we're going with the other guy too, I'd...
Well, he also... I got you. I mean, you know, he's...
But...
I think Jimmy Butler's a guy that... I find him a very unsympathetic figure.
Yeah, I don't have sympathy for Jimmy, but they chose Ben Simmons over him because Ben Simmons wanted the ball in his hands.
Oh, I love Jimmy.
I like Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler's a bit of a diva. I
love Jimmy.
He's all
Pat
diva.
Pat is a big Jimmy
Butler guy.
Really?
Yeah. I would leave all of you guys on the side of the road for Jimmy Butler right now.
Yeah,
really? If the Jimmy Butler show offered you, like, you know, a part of the show, you'd say, screw me, and go to the Jimmy Butler show?
Well, no, I'm not going to say that on record because they haven't offered me anything yet.
You sound like James Harden now.
Have I?
Now you sound like James Harden.
Have I sent my resume multiple times and a lot of DMs with a bottle of wine? Yes.
How does Jimmy not have a podcast?
That's a good question.
Because I'd say I would think a Jimmy Butler he's podcast would be well. Interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say he doesn't want to be the hardest time. Working podcast.
Danny Green has the time for it. I was saying, you know.
Here we go.
There you go.
Yeah, James Harden isn't going anywhere. There's no chance.
I don't think so either. No,
no
way.
No chance.
No.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You're Bob. It's not like you to speak in. You are the least person on the show to speak in definitives and absolutes.
Yeah. You don't bring him here with the Daryl Morey situation, with Joel Embiid situation, with what you're building, with what he has left on his contract and time, how old he is, and say he's not going anywhere. No, he'll be here next year and they'll work out whatever contractual detail that they have to work out, whether it's making the team better by doing this, that, or the other. But he's not going anywhere.
So
you're good to go, John.
If he doesn't sign anywhere else, we can all blame Cooney.
Well, I'm shocked because Bob
me to Jimmy Butler.
Bob is the least one of us to speak in absolutes.
Yeah, it makes me feel better.
And he feels incredible. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, there's no chance. Don't even worry about it.
He's just waiting for Tobias to get shipped out.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible. You get innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. Our Fanatic listener of the day is Matthew Green. Matthew Green, thank you very much for listening to the Fanatic. We appreciate you very much, Matthew Green. Thank you for listening. There is a Cooney's Corner where Bob wants to investigate something that the Eagles did, and it's something that is a very, very interesting move, to say the least.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Exactly what did they do with Fletcher Cox? He was supposed to make $18 million, so they cut him before they have to owe him that $18 million. And there's a talk about $16 million or $18, whatever, somewhere between $16 and $18 million, so they cut him. And then we have the discussion, are they going to bring him back or not? And I say, wait. They cut him for monetary purposes, one of your best players of all time, and they're going to bring him back, and he's going to agree to do so? And we were talking like, what, $6, $7, $8 million? And that's, I said, I would find it hard to believe he would do that.
No, I thought we were speculating like 10 to 12.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I thought we were saying somewhere around the 8. So then,
No, we were saying single digits. I thought we'd agreed to the
by the end. I thought we were at like 10 to 12.
Oh, no, I was never in double digits.
Oh, I remember saying 10 to 12.
Okay, you know,
somewhere around there, whatever.
You had said high
single. It was going to be a price cut. And then the rumor comes out, they are going to re-sign him and bring him back. Okay, good, because you need defensive tackles on this team, and he's still a viable one. And they bring him back for $14 million. They save $2 million? I mean, there's a penny on the floor over there in the hallway that none of us has picked up yet.
Well, no.
That would be pretty much the equivalent. And he's still going to be a cap hit next year, right, Jane?
His dead cap hit next year will carry over.
Right.
But you essentially got out of 3 years of his backloaded deal.
The 3 years of backloaded deals, whatever, you know, but he gets out of that. It's just, to me, it reeked of, and this is my ultimate point, it reeked of the Eagles saying, hey, look, you're going to be a rotational guy. You're not as good as you once were. This is who you are.
Yep.
We need you to know it. Money put aside, I think it was a real, I don't want to say hit to the ego of Fletcher Cox, but I think it had to be an eye-opener to him, and I think it's a good thing. Fletcher Cox, I think we would all agree, maybe he's lost a step or two, whatever it may be. But you need something from him, and he's got to give you that maximum effort and give you something. And I think this was kind of a kick in the pants by the Eagles to say, look, you're just one of the guys now. You're not the guy. Well, so we'll see how it affects him. I assume it might be in a good way, but I don't know. I still don't understand what the hell they did.
When I heard on NFL Live, they talked about it as a very confusing situation.
It is.
That tells me that even guys who study the league who understand this are very confused by what happened.
Yeah, I mean, he got out of his last 3 years. I don't know what his dead cap number or cap number carries into. But essentially, you just lopped off the back end of his deal. Now, I don't know the specific details of how much you're saving, but I would imagine they did it saying, like, Fletcher, we'll make this year relatively close for you. Just let us wiggle out of those final 2 or 3 years.
Well, the thing is, they didn't have to ask him.
No, they didn't. But I think that's,
like, I don't understand why they had to ask him.
I think him being back is them being upfront about the situation and being like, look, here's what it is. we're trying to get our cap right 2-3 years from now.
Right.
We're just going to clean it up. We'll make you good this year. We'll guarantee you this year you can kind of play for another contract at your age. I think they're very upfront in their dealings.
Well, here's what
I because otherwise you wouldn't come back, right?
Well, here's what I didn't like. Now, you see, this is what I don't get. Because he was, they couldn't get a late third-day pick for him. Nobody wanted him for a late third-day pick.
Well, I mean, like, well, it's weird.
Well, I understand.
Yeah, Amari Coopers and Robert Woods are going for 6 rounders.
I understand. So then you paid, and then you, but then you paid him $14 million. I mean, I'm like,
which, how do you not get Robert Woods for a 6-rounder?
He didn't want to come here.
Never mind.
No, he chose. He chose Tennessee. But no, but he was in as, and the, and I was glad because the information I had Friday morning was absolutely correct. The Eagles were knee deep in trying to get him.
So he's football Claude Giroux.
And then they made the, no, he had never, he had no ties
to the Eagles. The Rams asked him.
The Rams asked him, where do you want to go out of these deals? Les Snead's a good man. He does well by his players.
FM picks.
Are popular.
Les Snead.
Yeah, he has this.
But then he got some picks.
That is great. I got, I have, I don't want to wear that because it's a Rams thing, but I have a Rams, I have the F Them Picks t-shirt. I got it.
I love that t-shirt. That
I just don't wear it, but the only thing is though, it has the Rams thing on it, so I don't want to wear it because it's Rams. But I do like the F Them Picks t-shirt. Also got someone to send me the Missouri Bell t-shirt. Now that you can wear.
Yeah.
Right around, that's maybe at base. Get the Missouri Bell shirts out there. Hey, Delco Steaks. You got to love them. And Broomall Ridley voted the number one best of Philly cheesesteak.
Ooh, and we got breakfast this week, right?
Wednesday.
Ooh.
In honor of National Cheesesteak Day, which is Thursday. So they're doing a little preview for us coming up on Friday, on Wednesday. So we'll have breakfast on Wednesday, which is great. The best of Philly cheesesteak from National Cheesesteak Day. Delco Steaks, you got to check them out. The best cheesesteak in Philadelphia is in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Right across, I had people asking me, Big Dan was asking me, where is it in Broomall? Across from the Country Squire. Mm-hmm. If you know Westchester Pike, across from the Country Squire.
I have friends who live right down the street. They go there often.
It's a great spot. Great spot. Got to enjoy it. Delco Steaks, Pat, one more thing you need to know. You can't beat their meat.
You can't. You can try to beat their meat.
But no, they would maybe call the authorities on you.
Yeah, you
if
can.
If you did, so don't do that.
Be gentle, be rough, but you can't beat their meat.
We will be there at PJ Wellahan's this Thursday. We're having a happy hour, and it's a Pat. It is a Pat Egan home game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of, Pat Egan loves the Oaks location on Mill Road. You love this location, and we're going to be there on Thursday.
It's right near the rink I play hockey at, so I'm gonna invite my one team out. And we'll find out how well liked I am actually am in the locker room to see if anyone comes out.
Will they? If I set the over under right now on 3.5 teammates come out. Well, wait, make it. It's men's league, so I'm going to go 2.5 teammates come out.
I would go under.
Go under.
I'm under.
I'm not having a good season.
2.5. I'm going the over. My
I'm
man's
going the
liked
over too.
Far and wide. He's liked in that league. So
Pat, you're liked more in my own house than you're liked in this room.
I'm like, wow.
My wife and daughter, like, they don't even know Pat. They love Pat.
I'm like more in your house than I am in my house.
They love Pat. They said Pat's allowed to come over and set high scores if he wants.
You could just save me the trouble. You could just put my name in. We can call it a day.
No. Now I have to go and play Donkey Kong just to make sure that I get a higher score than the maids.
I'm telling you, you got to watch out for Coach, because if Coach shows up, you're
Coach,
Donkey
are you
Kong
a, you're a Kongsman?
I think I have all five high scores on our game out here.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, your initials are all in there?
Yeah.
Well, I know I wouldn't be able to have one.
He's the King of Kong. He's got a fistful of quarters.
He's the
Wait,
king
I'm
of,
sorry. Did you just say you think that you could have one?
No, okay. I don't think I could have one.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
I don't think I could have one because I didn't really enjoy that game that much.
So the way that I treat you with Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man is the way that Coach treats me with Donkey Kong. I'll be really happy with getting like a top five finish, and then I come in the next day and he's erased it in about 7 minutes.
By the way, the score that I posted for Ms. Pac-Man in my house is almost, it's within 1,000 of your high score.
Well, keep in mind, every machine's a little different.
What do you mean? That's BS.
No, it's not BS because I was...
Our old
machine that we had a machine.
Okay.
It had to get replaced. But our old machine, Centipede, I would dominate at.
Okay.
This Centipede is different. It's a little
I don't believe this, Jamie. You believe this?
I barely can get on that machine with all you addicts around.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Well,
I'm still not that much of a game star. I do like Pac-Man, but there's no other game on there that I remember playing as a little
Asteroids?
Kid except for... Yeah,
Space
I don't know.
Invaders?
That's because all you do is play basketball.
No, stop.
You played Space Invaders.
Yeah, a little
bit. All of us played Space Invaders.
Here's what it was. So, I don't know how it was with you guys. When we went to go play the games, you had to put your quarters up on the machine.
Yes.
Because if your quarter, my quarter's next, Bob Cooney didn't have a lot of quarters when he was a little kid, so there wasn't a lot of gaming going on.
It left more time for basketball and sex, though.
Yeah, look where he's at.
Yeah,
now.
14-year-old Bob Cooney. That's what I was doing.
Basketball,
yeah,
and sex.
Beers, too.
It's just the way you grow up. Like, we just didn't have it around all that much. There was one place that had a machine, and it was the bowling alley. All right, yeah, behind the basketball courts. Yes, it was all encompassing. But I just was every time I went there was like 10 people would have had their quarters up. And I could never really play them, so I never got a real feel
for it.
The
7-Eleven in Broomall.
I was a nerd.
The 7-Eleven in Broomall had, that's the place that had the Pac-Man machine. But I didn't have any other that was close enough to ride a bike to.
In the summer down the shore, I would play. Yes. That was the majority of my arcade gaming. The Neshaminy Mall had a little game room right next to the movie theater.
They still do.
I used to hit that up.
They still do, Pat?
Yeah. And then occasionally, like a bowling alley or a roller skating rink, parties like that, you'd hit up some. But
there you go.
I didn't have any.
Coach,
like,
when did you become a Kongsman? Where were you doing that? You remember?
Jeez, I'm not sure. I think it was actually doing ColecoVision instead of the actual arcade game.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was the ColecoVision.
I know this is that I have either forgotten how to play it or I'm just terrible at the Frogger on that machine. I tried Frogger a couple times.
Yeah, me and Tom Albert.
Tom Albert's the big Frogger's
producing
man?
Gargano today. Yeah, we get after Frogger. There's a really good documentary, though, about Donkey Kong. I've told a couple people here. Yeah, it's called The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. And the premise is this teacher gets laid off of work, and he decided he's going to buy a machine and just break the world record. Like, he just got bored. And he does it. And then he sends it in to the body of that holds all the records, and they wouldn't accept it.
Why?
Because the guy who had the record is this legendary figure in the gaming world. He had the first perfect game in Pac-Man, and they basically just idolized him, and they catered to his every need. And the documentary, as stupid as it sounds, is really good versus evil of this guy going and trying to like solidify that he was the real deal, as these bunch of nerds cater to this D-bag. It's really, really well done. And anyone's seen it knows what I'm talking about.
By the way, you saw your boy yesterday afternoon, didn't you?
Which boy? I have a lot of boys.
Aaron?
Harang?
Nola?
What about him?
I think one of the balls
five
just landed.
Five strikeouts in two innings.
One of the balls just landed.
He was trying to cut her.
They actually, NASA.
This is where you work on stuff, Jeff.
NASA, yeah, he's just working
on
stuff.
He's just tinkering.
It's not like he gave up a ton of bombs last year.
Wait, you cannot
I'm just saying.
NASA
found it. NASA was watching it.
I'm not that guy.
If you want to sit there and go, just saying,
I'm not the kind of guy to do that.
I'm not that guy. Let's hit you with what John Kincaid actually does say.
I'm not that guy. Aaron Nola is an ace.
Oh, jeez. That really makes me.
You said it. We were all thinking it.
All right. The second clue of the day to qualify to be the first contestant that will enter our game show. We're going to have 10 days, 10 contestants. Clue number two is odd. 20 minutes past the hour every day this week and next, you're going to hear a clue. Put all four clues together. You get one at 6:20, 7:20, 8:20, 9:20. After 9:30, I ask you to call. If you know all the four clues put together and you remember the memorable moment from the John Kincaid show, you will be going to Vegas with us if you can win the game show. Aaron Nola is an absolute ace.
Oh, geez.
That is even worse. And Bob, we may even like make it a little Price is Right-ish. You know, there may be a Price is Right component to the game show. I'm just telling you. Maybe. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really good. It'll really drag you in. It'll really get Bob excited. All right, coming up. Could this be the best ever, or is that a bit of hyperbole? We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Get the all-new BetParks app. It's here. It's beautiful. If you're in Pennsylvania or in New Jersey, the BetParks app is here for you, and it combines everything. Download it. Go to BetParks.com, the only sportsbook and casino app that I'm recommending to you, and you absolutely love. The new Parks Sportsbook that's located inside the Chickies over in Malvern is absolutely awesome, but the BetParks app allows you to have the fun right there in the palm of your hand. So, when you're looking at the Sixers tonight against the Heat, when you're thinking about the Sweet 16 games that are coming up on Thursday and Friday, you can get in on all the action. Use promo code Kincaid to get yourself a risk-free bet. And if your existing an existing customer. You can go to betparks.com, download the new app, and you can get a $20 bet that you can use in the casino or a $20 bet that you can use in a sports bet. I used it and took advantage of it and won $13. Hey, you got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Bet Parks is where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together in perfect harmony for Pennsylvania or New Jersey, and new customers can make their first bet risk-free up to $750. Check it out. BetParks.com. Call 1-800-GAMBLER should you have a gambling problem. So, we appreciate you finding it. There was so much hoops this weekend. Bob's going to get into this a little bit later.
Oh, wasn't it great?
It was, and there were some really, really good games. There was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Michigan State Duke was awesome.
Well, there were so many.
Just to see those two Titan coaches.
That was a good game. Baylor losing to North Carolina. What a wild game that was.
I had North Carolina.
Did you really?
+5.5. Right. Yeah, they're hot right now.
That's
that ejection was BS.
Yeah, look, there should have been a penalty on it, but taking a kid out of a game, that's tough.
Man. It changed the game. The officials really inserted themselves into that one.
Yeah.
But that comeback was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
It was.
Baylor came back. I mean, hell bent.
Oh, their pressing defense was so fun to watch.
You know,
Carolina couldn't handle it.
When I watched that, it reminded me of something from college basketball lore. Do you know what it was reminding me of? When I watched them play that.
Duke, Kentucky,
the 90
maybe?
Minutes of hell.
Oh, wow. That's Arkansas press.
The Arkansas, what was it? What do they call them?
Yeah.
The 40 minutes of hell.
Yes. Nolan Richardson.
Yep.
That's what that reminded me of. Because just to watch how much their butt cheeks were clenching up.
Scotty Thurman and Corliss Williamson and Oliver Miller.
Dude, very good work on your part.
That team could play,
former Sixer great, Corliss Williamson.
Good work on your part,
I always loved Oliver Miller because he was a fat center.
Yeah, he was.
You like that?
Yeah. I respect the fat athlete.
He was sweating gravy.
Yeah.
I mean, he really was. Hey, tonight, the Heat at the Sixers. We'll have plenty more for it coming up a little bit later on in the show for you. Tonight, 7:30 on The Fanatic. But there's a Beers with Bob that leads into it tonight. Off Fairmont Avenue in Philadelphia. This is a good location.
Urban Saloon, 21st and Fairmount. It's going to be a great time. I'll be there early, probably get there around the 5 o'clock hour, a little before maybe. So come on out, say hello, and then we're going to lead you right in to Sixers Miami Heat tonight.
That's a big one.
Does somebody rest?
Should they arrest somebody last night?
No.
They did rest. They did rest against the Heat last time.
I know.
No.
It's not my call.
No.
You don't have to tell me that.
Doc Rivers was asked about it before the weekend, saying, would you rest one or both of them? And he said, it's possible. I mean, if you win last night, it's easier to rest one of them tonight, right? But you lose last night, so then the thought is, well, why didn't you rest somebody last night?
Yeah.
Man.
Joel Embiid looks tight. He shot 6-for-20 last night. We've been talking about it, John, about James Harden. Not getting as much separation as we think he used to. Short on many, many shots, especially outside shots, just coming up short. You're wondering if it's legs. He doesn't seem to be as quick and as speedy as he used to be. I don't think it's tiredness or age right now. I think it's just his body getting back, you know, to where he wants it to be. But it's something you got to keep eyes on.
All right, let me ask you this. Could this be, and I realize this could be hyperbole, but I was sitting fiddling listening to Connor Thomas the other night, who, by the way, our Connor Thomas, who not only the Locked On Phillies podcast, doing a great job with that, but part of our show, but also hosting on the weekends here. Connor was doing a great job on Saturday. And just talking about a topic of fiddling with the lineup and how Joe Girardi will manipulate things as far as the DH and more. And by the way, Joe Girardi and Dave Dombrowski very clear that Bryce Harper will DH. JT Realmuto will DH. That he plans on, they plan on using four guys in the DH. Five guys in the DH. So Castellanos could, Schwarber could, obviously Hoskins could, but also Realmuto and Harper.
Yeah.
And he thinks they will all DH.
Look, Schwarber's so bad in the field, does it really matter if he's playing left or right? No.
No, you want him in left. You can do less damage in left.
Yeah, but either way, he's going to stink, but so it's just like, whatever.
I loved the conversation Connor was having about the lineup and the manipulation of it as far as that it could be a really, really good thing to watch him, to watch this lineup and how this goes together. Could this be the best Phillies offensive lineup ever? Now, I know in the run from 2000-2011, they were incredible. And they were dynamic in so many different ways, from Jimmy and the Flying Hawaiian and everything else that was a part of that. They had many components to the game. They had the big slugger in the middle that just was swatting left and right. They had a Jason Worth in the mix there. But this lineup right now, could this be the best lineup ever offensively, production-wise, for the Philadelphia Phillies? Do you think that is a possibility?
It's a possibility. I don't think they'll be the best, but I think they might have the most home runs from four or five guys. Because last year you had four guys, if they played 162, we're all on pace to hit over 40 home runs. And that's Schwarber, Castellanos, Harper, and Hoskins. So you do have four guys that should at least get you 35, which is pretty cool. I don't recall many Phillies teams ever with that depth in power. So I can't say best yet, because I think, you know, the Jimmys and Shanes of the world were so critical to those lineups. But power-wise, this might be the most power-heavy team they've ever had.
So if I said those four players, Bob, and I said to you the number's 125, so they all would have to have 31 and a quarter home runs. You go over? I don't think it's a lock, Jamie.
As long as they're healthy, I think it is.
Well, the thing is, that's where I'd be worried.
Yeah, I don't know. I have trouble. I was lining up the lineups. All right, let's go 2008. You had 33 home runs from Pat Burrell. You had 48 home runs from Ryan Howard.
Oh, my gosh.
You had 33 home runs from Chase Utley. You had 24 home runs from Jason Worth.
I would have totally...
That's pretty good.
I never would have known that 33 number on Chase
Utley. Yeah, I forgot about the other
one. I would have guessed 24 home runs
for
him.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you're talking RBI totals of Burrell, 86. Ryan Howard, 146. Rollins, 59. But he... Yeah, Rollins 59, but for a shortstop, not bad. 104 for Chase Utley, 67 for Jason Worth.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd have trouble putting this lineup ahead of that one just yet.
All right, Pat, who is the leading home run hitter on the Phillies this year?
I will go with Kyle Schwarber.
So you're going Schwarber, because, you know, there are bets out there now, too. You can bet on, you know, players' home run totals and things like that. So you say Schwarber.
But like, they have an abundant of power.
Is it abundant?
I don't know what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I was just let him go. He's on a roll. Yeah. Keep going.
Is that the cake? Is that the cake that has the hole in the middle?
It's a bunt.
I don't know. I don't usually wake up till 10 o'clock, so give me a break here. They have so much damn power, is what I'm trying to say, that it really could be, like, you could truly make the case for, I mean, three or four guys. You know, I mean, like, I battle between Schwarber and Reese Hoskins. I put Schwarber over the mix because of the fact that he's playing in a bandbox.
You think Reese was your second option?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, I had three different people tell me three different things, so I want to hear your two. If I said 1-2 on the Phillies and home runs this year.
My gut is probably Bryce and Castellanos.
Bryce 1, Castellanos.
I think I go...
It's incredible. There's no definitive answer, and they all sound right.
I'll go Bryce... I'll go Castellanos 1, Bryce 2.
Okay, that was mine.
Where's Schwarber going to hit?
Lead off,
I think.
He's a lock, I think.
I had Castellanos and Harper 1-2.
I don't want him hitting leadoff.
All right, here's my opening.
Why do you not want him hitting leadoff?
I mean, I'd rather just have him in the four hole.
Okay, but who do you have leadoff then?
JT.
See, I was thinking JT is a two-hole hitter.
They're not going to do that.
All right, here was my lineup that I put out yesterday.
Okay.
Because I told you, I jotted it down yesterday after the guy. I have Schwarber 1.
All right.
Harper 2. Castellanos 3. Hoskins 4. Realmuto 5. Segura 6. TD 7. Bohm 8. Odubel Vierling 9. That's not set in stone. That was what I first jotted down.
I don't hate it, except I sort of want Bryce in the 3. Now that they've added Castellanos, I sort of want Bryce in the 3.
I have Bryce there.
Does Segura belong, though?
I think he's a great two-hole hitter.
I think he's a fantastic two-hole hitter.
I have him there.
He can hit behind the runner. He can take pitches.
Yeah, okay.
That's one that
that's what my gut's
I want Segura or Realmuto in the 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Realmuto does not clog up the base paths.
Harper 3, Castellanos 4, Reese 5.
I love that. Reese 5.
Reese 5, okay.
Reese Hoskins is going to bomb at 5.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that should be a great situation.
Should it be fun to watch?
It
I'm
going
to enjoy myself.
It really is.
It's going to be fun.
I sent my Phillies rep. I was unsure if I was going to re-up season
tickets. Your new Phillies rep.
Yeah, my new one. I like the old one a lot. And that was part of my issue is I didn't know
like
if I was going to re-up.
I like him too a little bit. Yeah.
I sent my new Phillies rep an email at around 12:03 a.m. on Saturday morning and said, I'm in.
And you're in.
They dragged me back
in. But you had told them, though. You were on the fence, and you were waiting for more moves.
Yeah, I wanted to see what they did in free agency. And I told them the Odubel Herrera signing isn't really helping your case.
But this
and
helps.
Then fast forward, and they just totally redeem themselves.
Do you think they're actually going and getting a center fielder?
No.
I don't know.
I can't rule it out. I think they have another move up their sleeve.
I think there's a trade coming.
Yeah.
I think there is a. I'm going to call right now. I believe there's another signing and a trade coming.
I think if a trade comes, it'll be for relief help.
Oh well, who's the guy you're trading?
I don't know,
okay.
But I wouldn't be shocked.
Is it one of the 9 guys that I just mentioned?
I don't think I'd be shocked if Stott or Alec Bohm was not here.
I would be surprised.
One of them was not here.
Okay.
Because I believe they have said Dave Dombrowski got John Middleton to push money on the table. And I believe that they're going to say, well, we're not complete enough yet. And they can do it by trade without a big money signing.
Well, signing Castellanos does give you that versatility because he's played third base before.
Yes.
So he could.
And he plays it better than Bohm.
Way better. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So
he can be a third baseman.
Yeah, see, this is where we've always talked about the farm system not being that good. This is where, okay, you've gone all in, you've gotten the veterans, you've paid the money. But at the same time, I would love to see them hold on to the young kids and develop
them
too.
On.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to see both happen. But I understand where you're coming from, absolutely.
I want to know where Bob Cooney's coming from today, and that means we get our edition of Cooney's Column.
Let's turn the page and find out what's in Cooney's Column.
All right, 2 things before I get into my column. 1, I had somebody tweet me, and I think they went on our YouTube page saying, why is he reading a... It's a segment. It's called Cooney's Column, so it's acting like, you know, if you ever watch Sports Reporters, that's what this is.
Correct.
And 2, leading into this column, these are words of advice for the Philadelphia Flyers. Not so much throwing the hammer at them, although the hammer is in hand.
Okay.
All right, the headline tease on the front page of the Philadelphia Daily News on Saturday caught me by surprise, and it wasn't because it was another in a long list of fantastic, attention-grabbing words that the tabloid has been known for nearly 100 years. No, the tease on the front page went this way. Phils make big move, Giroux traded by Flyers. Wow, I said, and I say that a lot. Wow. It struck me as sharply as a morning hangover. A first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best players in the organization that has ever produced, and he is the second mention from a busy transaction weekend? That's crazy underappreciation and a topic for perhaps another day. But what surprised me even more, and I'm being honest, even irked me a bit, and something we talked about earlier, was the reaction to Giroux only wanting to go to one team, that being the Florida Panthers. And while the get for the 15-year Flyer, Owen Tippett and a 2024 first-rounder and a 2023 third-rounder, certainly won't raise the already low expectations of the Flyer fandom, any of them bitching that Giroux did the Flyers no favor, to me, is borderline asinine. And Flyers, you're included on this. It's so typical that this organization that has been so blinded in their own ineptness for many years has a tinge of frustration over Giroux's demand to go to just one team. After all, you were the team that put the no trade clause in his contract. Hey, Flyers, how do you think Giroux felt for the past 15 years? Coach after coach, line mate after line mate, goalie after goalie, and almost a handful of GMs. None of them good enough to help propel one of the best players in the league of our time to lead a consistently good team. That's all. That's what Giroux was owed, to have good players put around him. Flyers, you couldn't do it. Giroux owes you nothing. Few do. And if for a second the Flyers think he did, that may just be part of the problem with this organization that hasn't hoisted a Stanley Cup in 47 years. Take a good long look at yourself, Flyers.
Pat, not the first time we've been called asinine.
No, it won't be the last either, John.
But I absolutely...
I said borderline. I didn't say you were asinine.
No, you didn't say
borderline.
You said the opinion of it.
Yeah, you said it with your eyes.
And I go, and that's fine. I couldn't... I've never disagreed with a Cooney's column more.
I'm with you.
Why does he owe anything to this team?
You know what? He doesn't... It's obvious that he doesn't care. It's obvious that he does.
For 15 years, he cared his ass off.
It's obvious he's
giving his heart and soul 1,000 games.
Wait a minute.
1,000 games.
On the way out the door, it's obvious he doesn't care. Because he didn't care about them getting better. He didn't care about, and anybody who says, well, what were they going to get for him? Bottom line, if you have two people at the table negotiating, you get more. If you have three people at the table, you have more. And when players get traded in their career, all-time greats, when they leave an organization where they spent all their career and everybody fawned, this guy's one of the legends, they don't give you one place they'll go.
I don't have the history of all the great players that have played and got traded late in their careers if they hindered a team by saying, I don't want to go to Canada, I'll go here or there. He owes them jack shit.
Whoa!
He was almost.
Yes, he does.
That was close. No, he doesn't. He gave 1,000 games. He didn't miss games. The guy played his ass off for this organization. He doesn't have to go and say, you know what, though? I want you guys to be better when I leave, so let me be unhappy somewhere else, so as long as you got your better,
that's all that matters. There were people talking about him being a part of this organization after his career's over.
Oh, gee, another great move by this organization.
No.
Because bringing back former players in the front office has worked so well over the past 47 years.
I'd say thanks a lot. Go elsewhere.
Why did he get to 1,000 games? Because they...
Which was important to him.
Yeah, there was
he wanted the 1,000 games.
That's my big problem, is like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It can't be important to you because...
This guy hasn't had any cake.
Let me finish. It can't be important to you that, you know, it meant so much to you. You know, you make the case that, like, well, they didn't give him anything and this organization treated him poorly by not starting him with talent. Well, apparently he didn't see it that way because he wanted so badly to get 1,000 games with this organization. And yet at the same token, he gives them one place to go. Like, that is ridiculous. It's borderline unheard of.
It is.
It's not done.
He owes them nothing.
You mean to tell me that this guy only wanted to go one place?
I only want to go to Florida. Could have gone to Colorado. Colorado was knocking on the door.
You're not asking about
paying taxes in Canada.
So I'm being honest. You guys honestly think he did it to say screw you, Flyers?
No, I think he's selfish. Yeah.
This is what I want to do.
I think it's ridiculous that he couldn't be convinced to go anywhere else but one place.
I really do. I think it's absolutely a selfish act on the way out the door. But it's also, Bob, as I said earlier, it is absolutely a selfish act that he had worked into his contract and he can do.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hear any... When they put Claude Giroux's jersey up in the rafters, I don't want to hear, I'm a Flyer and I'm a diehard Flyer and all I care about is Flyers.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to hear it.
You got to be kidding me.
I don't want to hear it.
So you're going to take away 1,000 games, us saying he's one of the top five players over there. You are. You're saying I don't want to hear anything from you saying that I was a Flyer?
No, I'll applaud his 1,000 games. I'll applaud it. And I think, and I've defended him on this radio station since I've gotten here, that I think people don't give him his due. But I don't need to hear the, well, I'm a Flyer and I bleed red and orange and black and that's all I care about and everything. Because when the time came that you could help them and potentially help them on the way out the door,
get out of here.
Chose
that
to do...
That might be one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
That's fine.
He put 2,000 freaking games into this. And you're going to say because he only wanted to go to one place, you're not.
And they kept
don't tell
him.
Me you bled fire orange.
No, and they kept him to 1,000 games because that's what he wanted.
Yeah, okay, they could have traded him. This year meant nothing.
Because if he gets injured, they get nothing
for
him.
They get nothing for him.
And they risk that injury. I mean, it happened in Arizona to Jacob Chychrun. Like, he's a huge trade commodity. He got injured. They're probably going to have to wait to the offseason.
He got injured two games before he was supposed to be traded.
Yeah, so there is validity to that. My thing is, look, he earned this right. You are correct in that assessment. He had a no movement clause. Most superstars in the NHL do, so I get it. With all of that said, don't be aware of the situation. You can't rip the return, which I think some Flyers fans will. You can't rip Chuck Fletcher for what he got, saying he didn't get enough when there was only one trade partner. And I do feel bad for Chuck Fletcher because I don't even know if he's going to be here by the time they use that first round pick in 2024.
That's what I wonder too. Now, by the way, the gentleman pointing this out, and I can't believe I didn't think of it. Greatest player in the history of the NHL? Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Greatest player in the history of the NHL. Wayne Gretzky. Peter Pocklington had to move Wayne Gretzky and said he did not have a no-trade clause. He had to move him. Wayne Gretzky gave him 5 teams that he would consider, and he went to the LA Kings. Peter Pocklington said, I got to move you. Wayne Gretzky said, okay, here's 5 places I'm willing to play. And by the way, they were all in the States. They were all, he wanted the States. He wanted to go to the States. And Pocklington sent him to LA.
You brought up Ray Bourque earlier.
Ray Bourque gave three teams.
You know what one of the teams was?
Who? Flyers?
Two Flyers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was. I think I read that in Jeremy Roenick's biography, that he was pretty convinced he was coming.
Look,
but yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Like, okay, would it have been all, you know, rose petals, and if he said, okay, wherever you want me to go.
Not wherever you want me to go.
Who are you getting the most back for? Okay, I'll help you out and go there. But to say that you're not going to listen to him when he says, I bled Flyers orange and black?
I'll say for your 1,000 games, Bob, for 1,000 games, I will acknowledge that he was a legendary player for the organization, and he deserves to have his number up in the rafters. But I don't need to hear the fake platitudes either about everything I do was about Flyer hockey. Because at this point, they could have done better. And they could have significantly done better if they brought 3 teams to the table.
Yeah,
in a trade situation, you're getting more. You'd get more out of a team.
Apparently, Knicks deals to Boston and New York, which tells you right there that both those teams had better offers than what they ended up getting. You can defend his right to do this because he earned
and
that.
And he did. Well, sure. And I defend that right, too.
That the return was because of the fact that he gave them one location, which is kind of unheard of, and I don't feel good agreeing with John.
And as
you know, this is a gross feeling. I'm going to be honest.
Why are you so quiet over there, Lynch? You have a feeling on this or no?
He's listening to WOGL.
Peter and Stan. He's a big fan of Peter.
I just like being out of the way of an argument that didn't involve me.
It's nice for a change.
Yeah. Where do you fall on it, Jamie?
I'm just glad Claude had fun here.
No,
I think it left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth. I'm not, you know, frothing.
Good.
I
wanted to be on that island.
A little sour taste.
But, like, if you go to him with 3 cup contenders and say, hey, man, which one of these 3? Are you cool with all 3? You would hope the answer is, after giving the guy nearly $100 million in his lifetime.
I mean, seriously. You gave him generational wealth.
Yeah, like, you know, and look, he earned that. But, come on. Like one of 3 contenders.
I think what also hurt too is the fact that it was well known that he only wanted to go to Florida.
Right. Well, no. They said by Wednesday
he could have lied and just said, "Hey, I only really want to go to Florida. Push me to Florida, but for the sake of the organization, like
pretend."
Yeah,
we're talking about 3 months.
By Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, people in NHL circles knew that Florida was the only spot.
Yeah.
So teams stopped bidding.
Yeah, like, if I'm him, look, I don't want to uproot my family and all that, but it's 3 months.
It's 3 months.
You stay home.
I don't want to hear that
crap. I'll come home as much as I can.
Uproot the family.
Just
give me a break.
They can get through that rather easily.
Hey, Fletcher Cox, we talked about him a little bit earlier, but here's one thing that I take away from what went down with his situation. We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show. Thanks for hanging out with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Your house, it's going to be very, very hot this summer. That's just a warning to you. Because you know why? You told me it was very, very cold this winter. So what does that mean? It means that you have crappy windows. And that's why Window Nation wants to help. They said, John, give them a great deal. How about this? Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Pay nothing for 2 full years. No money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. From a company, Window Nation, with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 1 million windows installed. Window Nation wants to raise the property value of your house. Why? The curb appeal goes way up. Those new windows are going to look beautiful. They're going to be energy efficient. And when you buy two and you get two free, they're slashing that cost for you, and they're not asking for any money for 2 full years. Check out WindowNation.com on the web. Do your window shopping. Every size, every style, every color you could potentially need. And then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. A spirited Monday with you. We appreciate it. Tell your family, tell your friends. Remember, there's another clue coming your way for you to be the first qualifier for the biggest game show ever to hit sports radio in Philadelphia. Coming up at 8:20. It'll be the third clue of the day. Our 8 a.m. sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And we appreciate you being a part of the show. Tell your family, tell your friends. Cooney's column got a lot of people fired up. Bob's getting a lot of support. Bob's getting a lot of vocal support on my timeline. A lot of support.
None of you guys supported me.
Really, really supported.
Good to hear the listeners.
I just don't understand how people cannot. I do not believe people have the ability to compartmentalize anything. If you somehow don't agree with this on Claude Giroux, you're somehow besmirching his great career as a Flyer, which none of us do, and none of us did. It's just a strange thing. No one can compartmentalize and just say, here is the issue. We're only talking about the no trade. That's all.
Yeah.
We're not talking about...
Both can be true.
Exactly. Individual statements can be true. They can really, really be true.
Florida got a hell of a player.
I can tell you, I was as loyal and dedicated an employee as I ever could have been at my old station. And now every time I get a chance, I'm willing to bury my old boss. Now that could be a bit of a D.
I was appalled because when we went out to dinner the one time, the guy just asked, "Do you want a Caesar salad?" And you really berated him.
I went off. I thought it was an inside joke, and he goes, "Sir, I live in Tampa. I don't know who the hell you
are." Yeah, I had no idea.
And he offered to put chicken on it though, so I thought maybe someone had gotten to him.
We laughed. We had a good laugh. You know, one thing I did want to mention real quick, John, and I think we went back and forth this weekend, the passing of John Clayton at ESPN.
Oh, gosh.
Such a shame. And I was texting with Shefty on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, and apparently the guy behind the scenes, who I didn't know a little bit, and perhaps you did, was a really, really good man and took care of his wife and family very well. And it's a shame.
John's wife's wheelchair... MS.
I knew there was something. I could tell MS. From all the things that something was. Yeah.
And I mean, I remember the last time I had dinner with John was in Indianapolis, that Giants Super Bowl, and with him and his wife and a bunch of other people from ESPN. And John's wife was in a wheelchair, and she was an MS patient, and now she does a lot of raising money for MS. What I can tell you that John Clayton. The relationship he had with his wife was something that a lot of guys should aspire to.
Yeah.
He was constantly worried about her, in service to her, and she's a wonderful lady. And a lot of times they say, too, the caregiver goes first.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
You'll see your grandfather take care of your grandmother, and the grandfather ends up dying. You know, it's just, and John Clayton was one of the kindest, nicest men. And I'll tell you, if you ever watched those Sean Salisbury segments and you thought, oh, Sean Salisbury's calling him the Crypt Keeper and Sean Salisbury's calling him all these names and Sean Salisbury was such a D to John Clayton, you didn't know their relationship. And I posted a picture Saturday from my own personal pictures of John and Sean at an event at the Super Bowl. We were hanging out and the two of them loved each other like brothers. And Sean Salisbury was crushed.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He loved it. He was just on people's shows. A friend of mine's show he was on last week.
He was every time I ever got in contact with him to come on, and most of the time it was weekend shows and whatnot.
Right, right, right.
Hosts, he had no idea who they were. Could not be nicer and more accommodating, and if one time didn't work, and, you know, to the listener out there, you know, it might not seem like a big deal, but Jamie can attest, you know, being a producer, just getting a no, just getting someone to answer you back is half the battle, but the fact that he was more than willing to accommodate on the weekends and stuff, like, it meant the world to the host and to me as a producer, and he could not have been nicer, and everything you'd want him to be, he was just that guy. You know, he was
such
great.
A good dude.
Yeah,
such
so our condolences dude. To all our yes. friends at ESPN and everybody. He so was, I just wanted to mention that.
He was tremendous. I mean, just a tremendous guy. And funny, too.
Yeah, he might own the funniest ESPN commercial.
That is the best.
Mom, I'm done with my segment.
I was the best as he's eating the Chinese food off the can. Yeah.
And he lets his hair down.
Oh, my God. Well, there was a rumor. I don't know how many people asked me at ESPN. Well, they asked me when I was working at ESPN. They would be like, does John Clayton have a ponytail? And I'm like, what? They're like, Clayton has a ponytail. And I said, no, he does not. What are you talking about? And people thought he had a ponytail. And that was one of the things that they did. They came up with the idea for the bit, which was really, really funny. The Eagles brought back Fletcher Cox at a dollar figure to me that I consider unacceptable. So now the Claude Giroux people are going to be out for me. I think $14 million seems like a lifetime achievement award to him. If you couldn't trade Fletcher Cox for a late third day draft pick because somebody was picking up the number, that means to tell me nobody in the NFL thought he was worth $14 million. I don't know why you paid $14 million for it. I love Fletcher Cox as a player. Again, he's another one of those legendary guys for the Eagles. I absolutely will always respect his career. But I ain't paying Fletcher Cox $14 million this year. To me, that seems like we're doing right by an all-time great. Where sentimentality be damned, I'd pay him $8 million and just say, dude, we appreciate you to death, but we want to win a Super Bowl. That's just me.
I, you know what, John? After that last segment, I'm just going to have to sit here and agree with you.
I don't want you to, though. If you disagree,
no,
what do you think?
I was shocked.
It's a lot of money.
It was, and you know, we went back and forth earlier talking about the cap hits in the future, and obviously it's a business move and all that.
By the way, it's $15 million.
Yeah, so
dead cap next year.
I didn't understand it so much, and if the market was as light as you had said to us, John, it surprises me. I'm surprised they gave him $14 million.
It's just weird to me. That's a lot of money.
I don't have any explanation as to why, how, what. It is just weird to me. It's weird.
If you couldn't trade for him, if you couldn't get a trade for him for a back third day draft pick for his money, that means to tell me nobody would think he was worth $14 million.
Well, some of those teams might have. It depends. You know, the teams in need of a D tackle might be up against the cap. They might be, you know, I don't know. It makes him the 9th highest paid defensive tackle after just looking that up. Hargrave is 11th. I mean, that's probably, he came on really strong in those last final five games. I don't know what it was, maybe a comfortability in the system, maybe whatever. I don't know that reason. Maybe they saw those last five games and were encouraged that was more what they would get. I don't have a major problem with it. I don't. I would have thought.
I'm glad he's here, though. The thing is, I'm glad he's back. I just don't like the number.
I would have thought it would have been less.
And
that surprised me.
You could get two veteran corners for $6 million. You could get a veteran corner off the scrap heap late in the year. That you could get a corner. You could get for $6 million.
The Honey Badger might only go for around 12.
I mean, to me, it's a crazy amount of money to pay for him. But I'm glad he's back. I just don't like the number he's back for.
You took the words out of my mouth. I like that he's back, especially if they're going to draft a defensive lineman. I want him in that room. Even though it's going to be probably an edge rusher, I'd still want that veteran presence in that room. I don't know if he is that guy, though, to mentor the younger players, but they don't have a lot of depth at that position, so you might as well bring back one of your own who is an all-time great and all that stuff. The number, though, I was very surprised at, but I guess we figured out why, you know, he did come back, because we all said it. It's very rare for a guy to get released, bought out, and then re-sign.
At that kind of money.
Yeah, and now we know, you know, why they were able to come to an agreement. They kind of overpaid probably to keep him. getting a little bit of cap flexibility. So it wasn't crazy about the number either.
Yeah, it just seems like a strange number. Like it was. It's just way too high. But again, maybe they're trying to take care of.
But the 14 might tell you that another team was willing to offer them, I don't know, 15 or 16, right? Or yeah. I don't know. I tend to.
I don't think anybody was offering him 14. I do not in a million years think.
Well, maybe. Excuse me. I meant the inverse. Maybe he was getting 12 or 13 out there, and they did the 14 to make things right with them for kind of cutting the contract with them in numbers. I tend to trust them, and that might be wrong.
I think you're right.
That might be wrong of me.
No, I think they have a
good read of the league and value and all that. So I tend to trust them with that.
I'm glad they addressed the position.
Okay.
Like that. You need defense. If you lost him. And Jamie, I think you brought this up last week.
Ridgeway
if you
don't left.
Fletcher Cox, my God, you are so thin at defensive.
You have Milt Williams and Hargrave. Yeah.
We would have been chewing our nails
right.
draft night. Or I think the talking point would have been, if he didn't come back, I already had it in my notes for Monday's show, the Eagles better trade up in the draft to go get one of the A-listers.
Right, yeah.
Because there would have been a panic about
but
it.
But even then, you'd only have three defensive tackles.
Right.
You'd still need a fourth.
Go pick one off
the stubby. So now you can have him for that year and still go get the guy in the draft, and then you got your four.
Hey, when it comes to the exterior of your home, PHI is preferred. Visit PHIbuilds.com, our friends at Preferred Home Improvement. So we've got that going for us there, which we greatly appreciate there. So The weekend. You know what? I'm going to give Stallworth a chance here. Stallworth, thanks for holding on, buddy. You're on the Fanatic. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. What's going on?
Hey, buddy. You got a good voice.
Oh, man. Thanks. I appreciate that. Appreciate that a lot, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
I hope you still give me compliments after I disagree with you on the
It depends.
look, I got to agree with Bob 100%. This is why. Hear me out. Whenever I hear fans saying that a player should be loyal to a franchise, it definitely makes me shake my head, and this is why. You know, we are grown men. None of us are kids anymore. We realize that sports is 100% business, and the franchises are going to do whatever they feel is best for them, including looking at players as a commodity. They're going to trade you whenever they feel like they can trade you, whenever they can trade you. Each franchise, no matter what the league is, they're going to treat you as a commodity, and that means you're going to have to uproot your family, do whatever you got to do when you get traded. Sometimes you might hear that you're traded by some kid walking up to you going, hey, I just saw on Bleacher Report that you're traded. That's a part of the deal that the players sign up for, that their profession is unlike any other. They're going to treat you like a commodity, and you may be going to a different city the next day, the next week.
There's no question. I mean, right. Nothing you say there is incorrect.
Right. So how it relates to this situation, a player doesn't owe a franchise anything. There's no such thing as loyalty in sports. It's a business. So the players have to do whatever is best for them in every situation. Because the franchise is definitely going to do whatever is best for them every situation.
All right, so let me ask you. So, like, I use Wayne Gretzky as an example. Greatest player his sport has ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Gave five teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The owner says, I'm going to move you. Where do you want to go? Ray Bourque, one of the greatest of all time, gave three teams. Where mm-hmm. do you want to go? You can't. One team?
Yeah, and this is why you can't necessarily use those situations to peg this situation. We don't know what backdoor deals they had or conversations they had with those particular players to say, hey, look, if you give us this many players, we'll do this for you later on. In every situation, the player owes the team nothing. Because
okay.
I heard somebody on the show made a point. They gave him $100 million. They ain't give him anything.
No, you do.
You're money out of benevolence and the kindness of their heart.
No, but your employer decides that your employer decides your worth and does give you cash. In return, you give them your thing. It's just a choice of words that I get. Jamie, I think you used it there. Sorry, got to move Stallworth.
Yeah, I wasn't meaning that he didn't earn the money.
Right, exactly.
But there is a loyalty that comes with being highly paid, right? Like
right.
you naturally want to do well by the people that gave you generational wealth.
Yes.
And I understand he could have gotten it elsewhere, but he decided he wanted to be here and to build here, and he might be back here. You know, there's talks that he might return. He might be, you know, in the front office one day, the way they work.
By the way, don't bring him back.
I guess it depends on the money, right?
But don't bring him back.
But he's better than a lot of other crap we've
seen.
Are
you saying to play or to be in the front office?
No. He can come back in the front office if he wants. Don't bring him back. You tore the Band-Aid off. Start rebuilding.
Yeah, but if he wanted to come back at like a really low number, just
I don't think
he
he's
going to
do that.
Well, then he's not. So
I don't think he's going to do that. Let him go somewhere else.
But if he loves it here and wants,
which he does, and I believe him when he says it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can't see any scenario where the Flyers are good enough that you're bringing back Giroux to be what ultimately should be is a back end kind of guy because you're so good, you can afford him to be your third line center or whatever it may be.
How much hoops did you watch, Bob? Be honest. If I set the over under it, 10 hours of hoops.
So, yeah.
From the time we ended the show.
I was over that.
Yeah, I was over that yesterday.
You were over yesterday?
I started at noon yesterday. Then we went out, watched the Nova game, then came home and watched until all the games were over. Yeah.
I think I watched around, I was looking at it, I think around 13 hours of basketball this weekend.
Yeah, I texted my wife on Friday when I had my oldest, and I said, just so you know, she's watching a little TV because I brought the second TV up. I was like, I'm watching these games.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, great, Father of the Year. And I was like,
what are you, man of the house, Jamie?
It's March Madness. I'm popping her in front of the TV, and I'm watching hoops. I was probably over 20. I mean,
oh, wow, okay.
So the girls in my house went out on Friday, so I was home alone. Tommy and I were home, but I was in front of the TV by myself. I mean, you had college basketball, you had Sixers.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was just, you know, I take
Friday
the Sixers.
Friday was brilliant. Friday was freaking awesome. It was, you know, we had warm weather. We had Sixers at night, who they played great, by the way, and it's shame they didn't flip the games.
Yeah.
Shame we aren't coming off the Dallas game this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the immediacy of it, it was absolutely awesome.
I can't get over it. Addy said Father of the Year as if you're sitting there like doing drugs on the couch.
Wait,
you're watching basketball.
They try to limit screen time.
Look, he's so not Marty Bird.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point. Like, the Father of the Year comment, a little unnecessary.
Now, Pat, I was impressed that he didn't do the cheap shot of doing the Addy voice.
He started to.
You started and you stopped. You stopped yourself.
Unintentionally.
Because the Addy, you were going to do it? Can you do it for me in the Addy?
Oh, Father of the Year.
Oh, there it is. There's.
I mean,
he went with the Addy voice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's watching like softcore porn and
well, she ain't listening to this show.
What was that show she was
Euphoria. Yeah.
Come on, Addy.
Just wieners everywhere.
Is that the.
It's like Coach
the high school show with Zendaya?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zendaya's
growing
up.
Into it.
Now, how are they. Here's what I got to get.
She's a woman.
How is Zendaya playing a high school kid?
She's
24.
She's got that youngest
face. It's like 90210. They used to have like 28-year-old people
on the show. On the show Bridgerton on Netflix, they have one girl. They have one girl who's playing a 15-year-old. She's 30.
Oh my gosh!
So I mean, look, man, if you
are
look
you
young,
no, but he's supposed to suspend belief, or does she really?
No,
she
I was
for that?
Shocked when I found out she was 30. So
Outer Banks is like, right? Is that what you just said?
Outer Banks, they're 16 going on 35.
Seriously. I guess you're supposed to. The kid from the Disney Channel's on that Outer Banks. Used to be on used to be on I Didn't Do That.
Sure.
It was one of the funny Disney shows. You see, you didn't have a kid in that age. Bob, it was the I Didn't Do That was where they would show you some catastrophic event that would go on, like with the kids that some prank went bad or something happened at school, and they'd show you this in the beginning of the sitcom. And then in the half hour, the kids would all be trying to, you'd be seeing how it led up to it.
Yeah, that's not my
Disney
Channel.
And who was responsible. It was funny.
Mine's,
it was a good show.
Even Stevens.
You didn't watch Good Luck Charlie.
No, I was.
Which
was
past. Awesome.
I was a Bug Juice guy.
You were a Bug Juice guy.
Yeah, Bug Juice doesn't come in a jar. Bug Juice comes from who you are.
There you go.
People know what I'm talking about.
No idea what any of you are talking about.
See, you will though.
You weren't a Disney Channel kid.
You'll know all the Disney Channel.
I know the Charlie one.
Good Luck Charlie was great.
Yeah,
that was a really.
The mother kept getting pregnant.
Yes,
really.
Yeah. And they used to keep hiding her behind.
She was putting out on the Disney Channel.
No, she kept getting pregnant in real life, and so finally they wrote
a show about the youngest kid of the family, and she keeps getting pregnant. Like, what kind of a professional life do you have here?
They had to hide her because
she's looking out for herself.
That happened to Jamie Lynn Spears.
Charlie was the baby of the show, and the whole thing was Bridget Mendler doing a video blog to her little sister saying, this is what it's like living in this house. Good luck, Charlie. And that's how the show would end.
But
she kept getting pregnant.
That happened.
The mother. Yeah. They finally let her have another kid at the end.
They certainly did.
But
luck to that kid.
It was a good one. All right, you're supposed to be listening 20 minutes past the hour, every hour, all week long and all next week long, to get the four clues of the day. You get the four clues of the day, and you figure out the memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show. Every day we will have a qualifier. Those 10 people aren't going to be drawn out of a hat to see who goes to Vegas. They're going to compete in a game show on this show, it'll be the biggest thing you've ever seen for a trip to Las Vegas for them and a friend. Our third clue this morning, eating. Eating. So if you've heard the first two clues, add eating as the third. And if you can put all four clues together, figure out something memorable from the John Kincaid show that you should know. Because I said to management, I'm like, look, I want to make sure that whoever comes with us is a huge fan of the show. Because we're going to be hanging out. We're going to be out in Vegas with you. We have great parties planned with Philly Sports Trips. In fact, Vince Rizzuto is going to come in another hour and tell you a little bit about how Philly Sports Trips can get you there. And maybe he has a little gift in his pocket to help somebody along with a little cheaper pardon? This morning. A little something cheaper this morning.
Oh, okay.
You know, make sure that. He's got a baby on the way.
Yes,
another
he
one.
Does.
Another one. Yeah. I think in memory of our trip to Vegas.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Vince. And congrats on all your success.
Philly Sports Trips.
In Las Vegas.
Philly Sports Trips. It brings romance. It brings great trips.
Babies have been made on those trips.
There you go. PhillySportsTrips.com. Vince will join us, too. So you got the third clue is eating for the morning. Make sure that you know it. Coming up, I think this guy's a freaking embarrassment. And I can't be any more passionate. You thought Bob was passionate about Giroux? This guy's a clown show. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, spring is here and I'm sure you're excited about getting out and being more active. And guys, if you're tired all the time and your energy level in the bedroom is not what you want it to be, or if you've had issues in the past with low testosterone or ED, these issues can be treated and treated effectively. Call Dr. Avidan Appel at Iron Mountain Men's Health. He and his team specialize in the treatment of erectile dysfunction and low testosterone. They create custom treatment plans because every man is different. Iron Mountain Men's Health is a local practice with real physicians. So stop wasting your time and money on pills that you order online that could turn out to be less than 35% effective. At Iron Mountain Men's Health, you may experience results during your first visit with certain treatments. They also offer financing for qualified patients. So set up your free consultation today. Get treated now so you're ready for spring and summertime action. Tell them Bob Cooney sent you. Iron Mountain Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You've already received three clues this morning to try to be our first qualifier for the game show to end all game shows on Philadelphia Sports Radio. There are going to be 10 seats in the game. You got to grab one of the seats every single day after 9:30, but you have to be listening 20 minutes past every hour to get the four clues. Now, if you want to sleep in till 7 and only get three of the clues, you're such a fan of the show, you can figure out what it is. You're trying to come up with a memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show that will be identified by the clues. I've already given you three. The fourth one will come up 20 minutes past the next hour, and Philly Sports Trips will send you and a guest to Las Vegas with us for the NFL draft. I am very excited for that. Rex Chapman, to me, he is a perfect example of someone being gifted an opportunity based off not even being a content creator and being completely unprepared for the stage. Rex Chapman, to me, I swear to you, he is like a caricature of a Bond villain. But this weekend, it didn't really go too well when he decided that someone had died.
The first time since 25 years ago when Pete Gillen had God Sham God, rest in peace, Pete Gillen.
There you go.
Pete Gillen's not dead, Rex Chapman. And why do you talk like, seriously, why do you talk like a Bond villain? And more importantly, what are you famous for? Because I can think of a few things. I've seen the rap sheet. I know what you're famous for elsewhere. But what are you famous for? Taking other people's content and commenting on it on your Twitter account? I mean, he was so unprepared. He did not know. He could not name star player for games. There are four games going on at most at any time. that you possibly would have to know who the leading scorer was or whatever. He couldn't mention names.
Yeah.
He was totally unprepared.
It became pretty apparent this weekend that they're just trying to get people in off the streets that know basketball and talk about it without knowing.
And he does know basketball.
He does. But they had Frank Martin in for a little bit, right?
He was better than he knew.
Bobby Huggins, as much as he can say, you know, I see what they're trying to do here, which I appreciate and love. Delivery horrible. They're all just hoping that the best coach in college basketball right now gets ousted so that they can get Jay Wright behind the microphone and get his analysis. Not me neither. I had a list of things that we were going to bring up last the segment talking about all the college basketball we watch. I'm not kidding you. They're the best coach team in the tournament. I am convinced of that. They are just, he does such a fantastic job there. It is their whole program. I don't care what type of basketball you like. If it's fundamentally pleasing to your eye, which it is to mine, Villanova has that. If it's athleticism, three-point shooting, a different way to play the game, it has that. He's a treasure. And this city and surrounding areas, whatever, take it all in because Jay is that good at what he does.
He's incredible.
He really is.
But I mean, I don't understand how you get invited
other
on.
Guys.
I mean, when they, and I can tell you this, and we have. I can document it through our own. When Shaq was brought onto the NCAA tournament a few years ago, we were doing the podcast, and I literally came on the next week and said, "You were completely unprepared. That was terrible." I said, "That was terrible." And he's like, "They asked me to be on it, so I'm like, you know." And I was like, "You were totally unprepared."
Well, Shaq and Charles are in rare.
Charles is completely unprepared.
Oh yeah, but he knows it. He kind of leans into it in
a
way.
And he's fun.
Absolutely,
he makes fun of himself when he mispronounces a name.
Yes,
I actually feel bad for some of the people on that show.
And by the way, they're begging. They beg Charles and Shaq to do that.
Sure, and they can get away with that
because they want the star power to come on and
Rex
get people
Chapman
to stay watching
with his blue glasses and low energy. Nah.
And what was he wearing? The one did he have? He just had like a golf shirt and a hoodie on or something? Not that I'm the tie police or anything,
Rex
but...
Chapman. I'm Rex Chapman, and I consider myself very entertaining, and I'm very intelligent.
Now, those guys put in so many hours. I'm looking at Barkley yesterday. Those guys are exhausted. And they're so running out of things to do that it's like they're picking games with donuts now.
By the way, Charles had to wear one of Shaq's suits.
Is that what it was? That was Shaq's suit?
He got one of Shaq's. I know this.
Did you see the pants on them?
He got one of Shaq's suits out of the.
They were rolled up.
I think he did it as a joke, but I don't. But they didn't make a.
I didn't hear him say anything.
He had one of Shaq's suits on.
That's hilarious.
Because I said, look at the, and I said, he's wearing one of your Shaq suits from Macy's or wherever, and he goes, no, he's not. Is he? And he had no idea.
Because he came out from the desk.
And you could see it.
The bottom of the pants were rolled up and wider than wide. It was a funny look.
My guess is Charles got something on his suit.
So he goes
back to the dressing room and grabs one of Shaq's suits and thinks it's just funny. Where the lapels were so big. I mean,
those two can get away with it. The other people, when they get exposed, you go,
Do you find him in any way entertaining?
No.
Yeah, the good thing is that there's so many games on, you don't have to settle into those guys too often.
You find anything about Rex Chapman entertaining?
He retweets some good stuff. As you said, it's other people's content that he's bringing to light.
I'm Rex Chapman. I mean, but it's other people's content that would be, other people would bring it to light too.
No, Rex Chapman's he's got a bigger platform, so it's like one-stop shopping.
I got you. I just imagine if he had to produce his own content, because hearing him speak...
Yeah, it's actually a brilliant move on his part. Just repurpose everybody else's work and claim it kind of as your own.
And claim it as your own.
And get 600,000 followers before you even know it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, he's not an entertaining fellow.
Oh my gosh.
I think he mentioned how he went to some basketball game and he had tickets at Will Call or something, and they thought it was a fake name. They didn't realize he had played. It was like North Carolina game or wherever he played. But they didn't realize he was a basketball player. They didn't realize he was a basketball player at all. Because they know him as a Twitter personality.
Now he looks like he's, seriously, he looks like he's trying to be from some superhero movie, the villain.
Yeah, but my point, he's known as, from Twitter. He's not known for his basketball career.
He's 1.2 million followers.
Did you see what his response was to people that started busting on him about saying, you know, Gillen was dead? he tweeted out, don't do drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's precisely Pat's point. Yep. You have some... I don't want to say nitwit, at that station, it says, oh, he's really good on Twitter. Let's bring him on the air.
Right. Stupid. Seriously. Hey, speeding puts you, your passengers, and others on the road at risk. Slow on down. Please save a life. Be safe, PA. More at PennDOT.PADOT.
This is Bob
/ safety. It's terrible. No, that's the first time I messed it up this week.
Yeah, because Bob Inception.
No, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. I got through it all last week.
He wasn't here.
Now that we've talked about how difficult it is.
Got through it every single day, and I sort of said to Bob, see, that's how it's done.
John's not blaming me. Don't you do it.
No, I screwed up.
You don't know.
It's your fault.
Beers with Bob, pregame edition for the Sixers tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be at
Urban Saloon,
right at 21st and Fairmount. Can't wait. I'll be up there probably around 5 o'clock. I got a buddy that lives right next door to it, so I'm going to go see his crib before I go over. And then, we'll be there hanging out. We'll take you right into Sixers Heat.
Thanks to Corona.
Jimmy Butler is
coming to Bob Beers and Bob?
No, doesn't. He is questionable tonight with a bad ankle.
Ooh.
So that's the first injury report we have going on for tonight.
Well, that changes things, and God knows the most tired team in the NBA will probably need to give somebody a night off. So probably we'll see.
I expect somebody to rest.
We'll be Harden or Embiid tonight.
I'll tell you what, somebody's got to rest. I mean, Embiid doesn't, he looks tired. And like I said, Keith Pompey wrote a huge column about it last week, and Embiid admitting, I just got to try to push through these games. I don't want to sit. He's tired. I can't take a tired Joel.
And you're going to have to play back-to-back very soon.
Yeah, I can't take it. They got a hard schedule. 6 games and 9 nights. That sucks at the end of the season.
It does
suck.
6
games and 9 nights with 3 back-to-backs.
You know what really sucks, though? Being a half game up on the being tied with the Celtics.
But look, they're where you want them to be. This is what you asked for.
What, in the 4?
Well, if they're 4-5, they go Chicago, and then they would get Miami. So, okay.
Nah, I don't.
I mean, you know.
You'd rather be careful
what you guys all asked for, because it's going
to
come.
I think they can handle Miami. I do.
So
I know they're a little deeper.
Yeah.
But they're deeper
and they're better coached.
Fair. Cleveland, I think they run the table with in 5 or 6.
I think Bulls, too.
Bulls, too.
5 or 6 minimum. Right.
Miami is probably my most preferred second round matchup, if you're talking about Brooklyn, Milwaukee.
Okay.
So I like that.
Okay. Well, then that's part of it tonight. So listen to the game here on the Fanatic. You don't want to miss a minute of it. But in Cooney's corner, Middleton said he was willing to spend, and Mr. Middleton came through.
Now let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
He was running through the streets like Elf, saying, "I'm spending money, and I don't care who knows it." He was so excited this weekend.
Well, he spent.
So, and we hit on this a little bit earlier, and this is where I was coming from on this, John. They went out, they got the big names. They got 2 of the 3 big names that we were hoping they would get 1 of the 3, and they got 2 of them. And you put together now a lineup that probably can overcome the defensive ineptness that you do have, because this offense just might score you 5-6 runs a game. But at the same time, was it smart spent money? Because we've talked about it a lot, you've talked about it especially a lot, John, that while they've always been up there as far as spenders,
yes,
number 4 going into this weekend, have probably climbed a little bit now, was it all smart money? And here's where I'm thinking it is, and I hope they don't do something that you mentioned earlier. You still have a sprinkle of your farm system, young farm system players, on this team. I hope to God that they perform well enough that you can keep that. So
you want them protecting the assets that they've got.
Absolutely. You have the model of, yes, we'll go out and get good players, but we can also grow some also. And you're talking about a lineup that could have a Rhys Hoskins in it, an Alec Bohm in it. Bryson Stott might come up and try to compete for a job. You have a pitcher in Aaron Nolan that you brought up from your farm system. You may have a sprinkling of a handful of players that you've brought up through your system that are big contributors, along with all the money you spent. So the money spent to me is wise if you can hold on to that.
I like the working theory Bob's going with there.
Yeah, I think it was smart money because, according to Matt Gelbin, the piece yesterday, they have $70 million coming off the books next year.
Which to me is incredible.
Yeah.
Dee Dee Gibson,
I think Segura.
So you have a lot of, they get freedom.
Yeah, so it can be a one-year trip into the luxury tax, which is fine. I'm not saying you have to be there every year, but sometimes you have to be to get to a point where you can kind of self-soothe yourself with your minor league system. And that's what Bob's alluding to. So, yeah, I think it was smart money because it's probably only a one-year trip in, and you really get banged out in baseball when you are in it 2, 3, 4 years in a row. So a one-year trip in isn't that bad. It's really not even that much money in the grand scheme of things. So kudos to Middleton for doing it, but I think they did it full well knowing
they got a lot coming.
We're going to be away under it again next year, can address, and then hopefully a Stott and a Bohm have figured things out,
right.
And then you kind of start to have the right combination of things.
Can I ask you something about it, Jamie? Maybe you can do the research on it. Is what if the Phillies made a move during the year and went under it? Is it prorated?
I would imagine it's prorated.
Or is it opening day? I wondered if it was opening day, like that they checked it at.
Yeah,
and then decided that.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I would imagine it's prorated. But now that you're over it, spend a little more.
By the way,
keep going. Right? It's not that bad. It's, what, 20% of whatever you're over?
20% of whatever you're over until a certain threshold, then it becomes 30,
I think
believe.
You're at 7 or 8 million right. over now. So, you know, you're talking minimal millions.
Can I give a compliment?
Nuts.
A compliment again. How much I appreciate being home because we've got great writers in this town. We have great writers in this town that do a fantastic job, and I'm used to being in a one newspaper town for so long where there was no competition.
Yeah.
And they literally like didn't care.
Comfortability.
This city has so many different ways to read about Nick Castellanos joining the Phillies.
Yeah.
There were so many different ways to read about Fletcher Cox's story.
Sure.
It's really we're blessed. We're blessed to have it. So it's pretty good. Hey, PJ's Happy Hour comes up Thursday, 5 to 7 p.m. at the PJ's on Mill Road in Oaks. So come on out. This is a Pat Egan. This was almost like a Pat Egan request.
Yeah.
You love
no,
this place.
It wasn't almost. It was.
It was.
These are my people.
Stone throw from?
Eagleville.
Okay.
It actually is like right down the street from
Eagleville. Sort of a stone's throw. I would say stone's throw from the King of Prussia Mall.
It's 5 minutes from the King of Prussia Mall. It's also like about 5 minutes from Eagleville. Like legitimately that, you know, that's an inside joke with the show, but it really is like a stone's throw away from Eagleville.
Yes. I like that.
These are my people.
It's
Tim, the manager.
Fun.
Tim's great.
So Tim's excited for us.
I don't know if Tim actually knows we're coming.
You better know we're coming, Tim, and be ready for this. Now, Bob's appetizer, I was asked by an emailer, will Bob's appetizer be on the menu on Thursday after I announced it this morning that we're going to be at Oaks? I don't think they're not doing turnaround that fast. Well, we're going to tell you when Bob's appetizer hits, we will tell you when it's coming.
Yes,
because they're excited
will.
About this. I want Bob's appetizer's barbecue sauce.
It was very
in
good.
A jar.
Mm-hmm. I'll see what I can do.
It was delicious. That was. Can I ask you something? Was there brown sugar in it?
I can't tell my secrets, John.
It was delicious.
It was very good.
It was really, really good.
Yeah, it's
that was the best part of it to me, by the way. The wing covered in pork, but then eating it with the sauce. Like, the sauce to me was spectacular.
Well, if he was confident in it, he would have just left the bacon out and just gone with that sauce then, right?
You would think, right?
I mean, that just makes sense.
Even after a week, you're still hurt.
I mean,
huh?
If you're that confident in the sauce, just go with the sauce because it was a kind of a sauce competition. It wasn't really a wrap something in bacon and put a sauce.
You didn't
on
win.
By the way, I want to thank Philly Pretzel Factory, the official soft pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
I had some rivets this weekend
you
at
did?
A party.
Iron Mountain Men's Health, the leader in ED and low testosterone. Did you have any ED issues this weekend?
No, I'm fine there.
Okay, just wondering. Hey, the all-new Parks Sportsbook app.
Nimble.
You
got to
check out betparks.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Window Nation for replacement windows, doors, siding, and more. Visit windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION. Those are our fine sponsors for our NFL draft giveaway with Philly Sports Trips. And you're going to hear a little bit of exciting news. I told Vince if he was going to come in from Philly Sports Trips and he was going to come in and join us and talk to us this morning, I said, you better be bringing something. So I don't know what he's bringing, I told him he better be bringing something.
Hopefully he can bring a Sixers bench.
Well, I was more thinking about the listeners. Could he maybe do something kind for the listeners or something? But I hope that Vince will, you know, maybe he's picking up a rivet tray right now.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing that on his way in.
Maybe he's got a surprise in his pocket, as you said earlier. I don't know.
I don't want that one. That could be a scary thing. Jamie, that's you're talking about the bench. And when you say a bench topic, I don't know if you're talking about the Phillies. the Eagles or the Sixers?
I think
I swear, because we're talking about all those teams' benches, right?
Yeah, I think the Phillies, you know, whatever. I don't care about their bench this year. Just smash homers. I'm talking
just about, hit dingers.
Just dig the long ball.
Be a bunch of big owls, man. Just hit dingers. The Sixers bench, though, look, it's not going to get better. That's the cold, hard reality of the fact. George Niang is your best player. Outside of that, it's probably Danny Green. And then there's, like, pretty big drop-off. I mean, Shake, I don't know what happened to him. DeAndre Jordan is terrible.
Gosh, he's terrible.
Yeah,
he's really not good.
Yeah, he's just not.
No.
He really fell
off.
Even
for a 10-minute span.
Yeah, so
it's just not.
The reality of the situation is there's no improvement. You're going to have to, it's probably going to be your Achilles heel if you don't get it done. And the only way to improve that, it's simple to me. Tobias Harris, where the hell are you? Because the rotations and the way they're working out, you're kind of finding yourself with James and three bench players a lot. You got to be better in those situations. You have to. Like, I can't look at Danny Green or Shake Milton and get upset that you're not good enough. I can look at my highest paid player that isn't playing well enough with those second units. If the bench is going to be what it is, I need Tobias filling it up. That's 16 to 20 points a game. He's going to have his opportunities when the big four is not on the court. He has to capitalize or they're toast. They really are. I mean, that was my realization over the weekend was just, all right, we can't bitch about the bench for two more months. We can bitch about a guy making $42 million not giving you enough. I mean, 5 points last night. That's
averaging 12, D-line, I'm having to tweet, averaging 12 since the trade.
Yeah, that's not cutting it, man.
That's incredible to me.
He's kind of lucky to this point that the anger and vitriol hasn't been more directed his way. Now it's jumping out in neon to me. You just got to be better. Even if you're not scoring, you got to impact the glass. You have to impact the game in a bigger way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be scoring. He's playing a willing defense, which is great. Cool, you're doing what you're supposed to. You got to impact the game. Yeah, he has to.
I understand, but let's not.
But that's his big positive right now, is that he's playing defense against one of the harder positions to guard in the league at an okay rate. It's not great. It's not bad.
I wish Harden was playing defense the way he does.
Yeah, well, we knew we were getting that. He's just got to be better. I mean, that's the bottom line. This team's hopes might actually hinge on Tobias Harris at this point.
If you're going to look at the second guy off the bench to further what you're saying, Jamie, after Niang, Danny Green combined the last two games has played 47 minutes, almost a full basketball game. He's taken 8 shots.
Okay, that's
To your point, James, if you're not getting it from those guys,
you have to get more
from Tobias Harris. Yeah, this bench play is just baffling to me. If Danny Green's not shooting 3-pointers for you, what is he out on the floor for 48 minutes for?
Well, he's getting content for his podcast.
It's just
he's out there because you literally don't have a better option.
I mean, that seriously is it. That's what they're at.
It's a dire situation.
It's dire, and they really.
Yeah, if I was having those Sixers, you know, championship ticket odds, I might think about selling them on PropSwap, John. College tournament is finally here, and PropSwappers are making thousands by buying and selling college basketball and NBA on PropSwap. So download the PropSwap app today.
Okay, Friday morning, I told you a prominent NFL insider had said to me that the Eagles were very much trying to see if they could acquire Robert Woods from the Rams. They were in on it, which is very good, and they got turned down. The same NFL insider has shared with me this morning another name to expect to target.
Cole Beasley.
No. He believes this person is the new buzz right now of someone that they are hovering around.
Not Jarvis Landry.
Yes.
Really? Huh. I would love that. I wouldn't mind that.
Slot most of the time.
Yeah.
Right? He believes Jarvis Landry is where they've moved on to.
I'm surprised that he wouldn't have more of a calling from, you know, better championship caliber teams.
Jarvis Landry is who
they... But I would like it.
They've moved on to looking at Jarvis Landry.
Juice.
That's reportedly is
juice,
the,
juice, juice.
Is the place. Pat, you all injured. In? That's what I say, too.
But that's he's better than...
But...
Is he going to miss, what, four games?
He's not Jalen
games?
Rager.
Great point.
No question. But is he going to play?
He's not Jalen Rager.
Great point.
He's gone 12, 14, 16, 14, 16, 16.
He's not Jalen Rager.
Not too bad. Yeah, I mean, not too bad.
But did you say game? I'm sorry, I missed
it. Did you guys know he's not Jalen Rager?
Yeah, I think he is. I think you said that to
us. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm in.
We got 1 hour to go, and you'll have your final clue to try to qualify today, too, for our trip to the draft with us. But there was a statement that can be made tonight, and who knows who's even playing. It's the John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. You want your house to be comfortable this summer, right? You wanted your house to be comfortable this winter, right? But it wasn't. It was drafty. It was cold. You were constantly bundling up indoors, and those heating bills were terrible. Well, it's going to reverse this summer. This summer, you're going to be hot in your house, and your cooling bills are going to go through the roof, unless you call Window Nation. Go to WindowNation.com today and do a little window shopping. Say you have 20 windows in your house. What if I told you you could only pay for 10? Not bad, right? What if I told you that you pay nothing for 2 full years? You're listening now, aren't you? No money down, no payments, no interest for 2 full years. And we're talking about Window Nation windows that are absolutely beautiful. And they include mold spray, quad max sealant. It's all weather conditions they're tough against. A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau, over 1 million windows installed. Make the call today. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Pay nothing for 2 full years. No money down, no payments, no interest. It's a great, great deal. Go to WindowNation.com on the web and do your window shopping. Then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm The Fanatic.
The 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. I saw a house yesterday over in Westchester. I was dropping something off at my buddy Joe's house. I came out of his cul-de-sac, and there were 2 Bagsters on somebody's lawn. 2 full Bagsters.
Not one, but two?
2 full Bagsters.
Wow.
It's like 200 pounds or something.
So they had lots of junk. These were smaller version of the Bagster, I believe, but they were Bagsters.
Spring cleaning time. Right on.
Yeah, people getting out and
doing
the spring cleaning.
Feels good to purge.
Oh, man. It just feels good to have nicer weather.
Oh,
so excited.
It's the best.
Because I think winter, I don't want to
winter sucks.
I think winter's done.
I think so, too.
Oh, winter is done.
I officially did.
You called it?
Yeah. And
you
today I'm gonna start yard work today.
Wow.
But it's not really yard work. This is weird. So the house that I moved into had a gas line go out to a grill.
Okay.
But it's like 80 years old, so I got to get that thing out. So they came out today and capped the gas line. It was already off, but they capped it. So they said, "Yeah, you can just cut it out." So today I'm going to be cutting down a metal grill or something.
Okay, I'd be afraid of that.
Why? What are you afraid of, John? Don't be afraid.
What are you cutting with?
I'd be afraid of cutting a gas line.
Scissors? I don't know. I don't think I have the proper. I don't think I have the proper tools. I think I'm going to have to go visit somebody. Like,
would that be something that you?
Glenn will have the tools. He's a tool
there you
man.
Go.
Would that be something that you need a wet saw for?
Wet, dry, moist. I don't know, John.
What do you do? Not wet. That. I know wet saws. Wet saws are for tile, I guess.
Yeah,
when
that
they
is
cut
correct.
Tile.
Yes.
When Tony Marzano did our tile, he had a wet saw.
He had a wet saw.
Tony was taking care of business for us.
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, a statement game for the Sixers tonight against Miami. How many times have I said this?
I was going to say, yeah, I think we're running out of them.
Because I guess it's because of the fact that they're not taking advantage of nothing holds with this team. Friday night was so good. I went to bed Friday night feeling so good about the Sixers.
Yeah.
And Jamie, I saw you put it out. You were like, now that was a win against a really, really good team. That was a win against a team that has as many wins as you do.
Yeah, they're 28-7 since December 1st. They've been one of the hottest teams in the league over the last, 3 months.
And I thought they made Luka look ordinary.
Yeah, they did.
For whatever reason. And for a team that I'm not that impressed with defensively, they made Luka look really ordinary. But tonight, you don't need the top seed come playoff time as we saw last year. And the Bucks won a championship as a 3 seed in the East. But you want to appear that you're ready for prime time. And after last night's debacle, and it was a freaking debacle, you got to go for it tonight, don't you? Or we were just talking to Carter from the Peter and Stan show, stopped in. And he was wondering, like, you know, do they care about, do the Sixers care about where they finish? And do the Nets care about where they finish? So, Bob, I ask you, do you believe now there might be something to the Sixers saying, we're good being out of the one or the two seed because we're guaranteed to avoid the Nets? I know we talk about not wanting to avoid teams or acting like that's a big deal, but it's sort of feeling that way to me.
I don't know. Like, what, they didn't try to win last night? No. I'm not tonight, saying you're saying
no, I'm
that.
Saying if tonight, if they just say, nah, we don't need to beat Miami tonight.
Well, I think they need to, as I said before, and I truly believe Doc Rivers believes this, and the players, they have to get themselves right. Forget about where you are in the standings and all that stuff, because that doesn't matter. Hey, if you're not playing good basketball, if you play the way you did last night, or you did last week against... who'd they have in here last week that came in and beat them? Whatever, on another pretty bad performance in a close game.
Was it Dallas? It was Nuggets.
Denver, yes. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. And it's like I was kidding with you guys this morning when I said, look, are they playing the way you want them to? Because now they're at the three or the four and this and that and the other. You could get an Atlanta team to come in here, not specifically, but, you know.
They're in the NIT. They're in, like, the 10 seed.
Yeah, you could get a team that you think, they'll roll over Cleveland or Chicago. And while I still think they would, how confident are you in this Sixers team right now? I'm not. I think Joel Embiid does need a rest. And look, I'm a proponent of playing as much as you can, but sometimes you do need a rest. I think he's there. I just looked at the line. The Sixers are 1.5-point underdogs tonight. That leads me to believe, with Jimmy Butler being questionable, they're going to sit somebody.
Somebody's sitting.
Yes. Yeah, so,
no, that means somebody knows something.
It's probably Embiid.
I mean, but the funny thing is, you sit Embiid, what do you do? I mean, are you playing now? Did you go out last night and play B-ball Paul a couple of minutes because you knew you're going to have to use him for 25 minutes tonight because you're going to rest Embiid?
You warmed him up for 3 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. You sit Harden, and who do you throw in there? If Furkan Korkmaz is going to be your starting two guard?
To me, it tells me that no matter how much people say, you can't worry about where you're seated, it means that the Sixers don't care about being one of the top two seeds.
I think they care.
I think
your priority.
Well, they're not
right
going all out for it.
Well, I don't know. They tried to win last night and they lost. If they need rest. It doesn't say you don't care. It means how best to deliver the team to the playoffs. You can go out tonight and play Harden and Embiid. They could play their asses off and play another 40 minutes and maybe you come away with a win. In the long run, their thinking might be, does it really help you? I mean, if they're tired as hell come playoff time, did it mean that winning a game March 21st against the Miami Heat, did it mean that whole hell of a lot?
Well, here's what I don't like, though, about this whole scenario, is we're talking now about, we kept saying, James Harden, man, we got 24 games to get this figured out. Now you have 12. You frittered away 12 of the, does anybody think they figured out how to play with James Harden well and how to fit everything in?
Yeah.
I do not.
I think offense is not their issue. I think James Harden's running a pretty good point right now, and he's just not getting some of his shots to drop.
I think offense, even in the Dallas game, was good. Dallas plays the game in the mud. John Chaney would love watching the Dallas Mavericks play. Like, they play a game, a slower, plodding, deliberate style, so the game's going to be a little scoring lower. But I haven't been pleased with the offense that much at all after the initial run.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of dysfunction.
They scored, and I think a lot of it does go to, and I hate making this excuse, but I think a lot of it does go to tired. I mean, Embiid, 6-for-20 last night, he looks tired. Harden, I don't know if it's tired or if he needs to play more to get his body going, but jumpers are short more times than not. And I don't know where exactly. Yes, do I think they've learned James Harden a lot? Yes, I do. I think Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, even to an extent, a little bit Tobias Harris. But they've learned a lot about James Harden. So I wouldn't say 12 games for nothing. But, yeah, to my point, they still have to get better and better.
Adam, by the way, our listener who counted before, he said, John, Friday and Sunday, we had 8 more front rim misses for James Harden. Which Bob always accounts to legs. You know, you're not getting the ball to the hoop.
Yeah.
He's missing off the front.
Yeah, they look
tired. I mean, there's no better way to put it. And honestly, it's kind of amazing that we're in this situation where we're begging the Sixers to rest Joel Embiid. Like ignore James Harden for a minute. Like, he does look tired and he probably could use a break, but whatever. But the fact that we're as a fan base who are so used to him just sitting back to backs constantly, the fact that we're in this position where we're begging the organization to sit this guy because he looks exhausted, it's actually kind of a weird way, a good feeling. But with all of that said, they need to do it. Like, I now have a fear that he's going to be questionable for every game down the stretch, and he's going to play all of them.
Coach Boosenholder last year said that he didn't care about seeding down the stretch. He cared about having his team best prepared mentally and physically for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I dug that up from the other night because I looked at it and I said, well, we have the NBA champions were a 3 seed last year. And he literally came out and said, if you tell me that on the opening night in the playoffs, I have a team that is mentally ready to play and as rested and in their best condition possible, I'll like my chances better than if we pushed it to get a 1 seed.
Well, Sixers are a better road team anyway.
I wonder, though, if they don't care about seeding because deep down, Doc Rivers, Elton Brand, Daryl Morey, they know that they're not good enough. So this season doesn't really matter. It was all about getting James Harden in here and getting him to sign an extension and really reloading for next year. Because Tobias Harris, at this point, we're all kind of like, yeah, he looks like an odd man out. So they'll retool in the offseason, get the bench depth that they lost in the trade. Because you look at it, like, their rebounding sucks and their bench sucks. Like, how do you win a championship with that? So they might be looking at it like Doc Rivers, like, all right, this will get us some experience, but does it really matter in the long run? I want to play my guys so that next year they're not exhausted.
Yeah, like, when you say, have they learned to play with James Harden, I don't see the offense with James Harden on the court an issue at all. I see a team that doesn't hustle to rebounds, they have a bad transition defense, and they have a worse bench. So I see three major flaws that, in a way, have very little to do with James Harden. Like, you knew you were never going to get transition defense and hustle from him. Rebounding, he does what he can. And then just the bench, he can't do anything about.
I expected more scoring.
I think
he's struggling a little bit.
I talked to Devon about this on Friday. I might be giving him too much credit, but I think his first 12, 15 games here was going to be a sponge process where he's learning where guys like it. Like, he has different passes to different guys now. I just think he's trying to take everything in and then he'll ramp it up. I hope I'm right.
Hope you are too.
But he has been, he's also getting fouled a lot. That's not getting called anymore.
Because he asks for everything.
I know. Someone breathes on him.
Last night he was throwing his hands in the air asking. Well, at the end of the game, that didn't cost them that game.
But when he's driving now, he's getting hacked a lot. Yeah.
Hey, speeding puts you, your passengers, and others on the road at risk. Slow down, save a life, be safe, PA. More at penndot.pa.gov/safety. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars. That one came off all right. Heat and the Sixers tonight on the Fanatic, 7:30. You'll hear that aforementioned Devon Givens.
Oh, not
tonight.
A 9 o'clock start?
No, well, that was fun. Because of the Flyers being...
Well, no, the Wings had a game tonight.
The Wings are playing?
Yeah, so the Sixers are getting pushed to 10 o'clock.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
new
schedule.
So we have a four-hour beer
at the
bottom.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's going to get messy in the last hour.
It's 10 p.m. tip-off.
Final clue of the morning for our first qualifier coming up after the bottom of the hour. You have to be listening in just around 5 minutes or so for the final clue. You put them all together. You tell us about a memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show, and you could be going to Vegas with us. You're going to participate in the game show. John Middleton said he was willing to go over the luxury tax for the right player. And they found it in Nick Castellanos. So I ask you, Jamie Lynch, do you believe John Middleton was always telling the truth now? That he was willing to go over it, but they found the right player that he was willing to go over it for? Or do you believe that is just after the fact he realizes he had to?
I think it's an easy thing to say without getting fact-checked on. Like, I'd have to go back to the trade deadlines and the free agent signings and do the math and find out how far they were and would this player potentially put them over. I think it's something to say that you don't really get called on. So I think it's kind of a safe excuse.
Well, trade deadlines is the only thing that I'm going to give them is this. Trade deadlines, the Phillies don't have a farm system. They couldn't beat, like, the top organizations in baseball, they couldn't beat them at a trade deadline because they wouldn't have the young talent that usually teams want.
Yeah, but you can always sell crap in baseball. I mean, minor leaguers, it's a crapshoot. Yeah, point is fair, but...
They traded garbage for a closer and a starting pitcher.
Yeah, like, you can always pull some. So, whatever. I think it's an easy way to say, yeah, he's the guy.
I just want you to give him credit today.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I've sat up here and said, pay the tax, you coward. And I hope you go bankrupt running my team. So if
that's
I'm going to
probably what set him over the edge, by the way.
That's yeah. What
so
did.
If
that
I said
bullying, up, yeah, probably
bullying
got him
works.
To spend.
If I sit up here and say that, I do have to applaud you for doing it because for the first time in your franchise history, you've done it.
Did Jamie Lynch just say bullying works?
Yeah.
Luckily, most kids are in school right now.
Yeah, so something your professional does, sports yes. teams, not other kids in school.
Yeah, let's hope that the kids just Bob shaking
but
his
daddy,
head.
But Daddy, Jamie said bullying works.
Yeah. Bullying your sports team's owners works. Is there that more specific and a little better?
Okay, yeah.
It does sound a little better.
Well, yeah. I couldn't be more happy with what Middleton did this offseason. I mean, you know, and look, let's go two of the three last off seasons, right? You got Bryce Harper, and you got the two guys that you got this year. All right, he's going out, he's spending money, and he's doing exactly what the fan base has asked for. And if you think about it, a lot of the teams have. Oh, Philly, awful. Their fans are crazy. Okay, the fans wanted James Harden in a tremendous way when Ben Simmons went awry. Boom, you got James Harden. The fans wanted you to go out and get one of three guys. You went out and got two. You know, this city's been lucky in all the acquisitions that these teams have gotten over the last few years. I'm all right with it.
I'm all right with it. The one thing I'm going to say about the acquisition of these things is that nobody gets amnesia. We are all in support of these moves, correct?
Yeah. Oh, I like these moves. Yeah. Yes,
every one of us.
How could you like?
Okay, no. I just don't want because I know this town, and I know that people are going to go after. Yeah, going out and spending money in this, they should have spent it on pitching. Should have spent money on it. There was not pitching on the market this free agency. There weren't pitchers out there to be bought.
No, but come trade deadline, if they don't push in for somebody obtainable,
that'd be fine.
Then that's a fair point.
No question.
Point.
That is fair then.
Sorry to cut you off, but this lineup kind of reminds me of 08, because 08, their pitching wasn't great.
No.
When you really think about it, I mean, Brett Myers was their opening day starter. He got sent to the minors midway through the year. You know, it was like a hodgepodge of who are these guys, and they trade for Joe Blanton, but they won because they just mashed. This lineup is similarly built, where their pitching isn't great this year. They have a lot of question marks, but they're kind of banking on their lineup just Ooh. Crushing opposing pitchers.
You reminded me I had an email that I wanted to reference.
Was it from Groupon?
No. It's from Jimmy.
Oh, what did he say,
What's
Jim?
What's up, Jim?
Jimmy sent an email, and he goes... John, and he goes, I'm not going to reference any of your hosts by name,
Uh-oh.
But maybe you will be able to figure this one out. There seems to be extreme outrage about Odubel Herrera. I am a husband and a father of two girls. So I also find Odubel Herrera's behaviors that he was accused of, by the way, and not convicted of, to be offensive. That said, many of these same people cheerleaded for Brett Myers. I forgot the email until you brought up Brett Myers. He said, there wasn't any giant outrage about Brett Myers being part of the Philadelphia Phillies. There wasn't any giant outrage about, I can't go to the ballpark and root for this guy. There wasn't any outrage at the parade that Brett Myers is a guy that was cheered for in this town and celebrated. He said, I find the double standard strange, and I wonder if you think it's just about the Phillies were competing for championships back then, and everybody's morality went out the window. Now, you guys could speak to this better than I could. The Brett Myers. I don't know, being in and out of the Phillies clubhouse very rarely when they would come through town and I would see them. I always found it to be a bit of a...
Well, the time periods have changed dramatically.
Man beats his wife and pulls her by the hair on the middle of a public street in Boston.
But
it's far different.
But the point I'm getting to is social media wasn't social media then.
Okay.
And that's where you hear or see a lot of the outrage these days.
How was it handled? Bob, do you remember?
It was actually relatively a quiet story.
I remember, I think I was in the ballpark the first time he took the mound after.
Did he get you?
It all happened. No, he got booed.
He got booed.
He got booed pretty well. And when he warmed up in the bullpen, I remember him getting booed pretty well. Look, nobody wants to stand for that. And I think if we all had our druthers, I would have cut his ass the next day.
But they didn't. And he was celebrated in this town as a hero.
I'll tell you right now. I felt gross cheering for him.
And that's good admission.
You know, I didn't like it. I remember a buddy making a joke about it, and I was like in high school, or I was a senior in high school or freshman in college, and I was like, dude, like it's not funny. Like he beat on his wife
on a public street.
Fast forward to, you know, a late September game, and he's pitching, and I'm cheering for him. Now, I'll be the first to admit, like, I'll cheer for Odubel Herrera because he's wearing a Phillies jersey. I'm not going to sit there on my hands if he hits a home run. It just feels gross. Juris Familia is the same way. Like, Juris Familia has the same issue as Odubel Herrera.
Allen Iverson?
Domestic abuse. Yeah, so.
Allen Iverson, I mean.
It's just like, I'll still cheer for these guys because they're playing for my team, but it just feels gross.
Odubel Herrera absolutely is no one to be admired for his behaviors with that. But that said, Allen Iverson, Brett Myers, Familia. I mean, let's have a consistent meter on this thing of what is acceptable.
Well, there is a standard of if you're a great player, people will forgive easier.
And that, to me, then I don't want to hear your opinion on Odubel Herrera about domestic violence. If you if your opinion on domestic violence is tied to how great the player is for your team, I don't need to hear you say word one.
But it exists. You can't deny it exists.
But I'll look at you and I'll say you're a total fraud. You don't care about domestic violence.
Well, sure.
You only care because you don't like the player.
The only reason I bring it up is because I do see it
and
exist.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I mean,
there's a reason nobody ever mentions AI.
But I don't want to hear your impassioned, moralistic views on Odubel Herrera if you were there front and center cheering for all the other domestic abusers that you've cheered for.
But I do think
And you didn't find your voice then.
I think social media has a lot to do with it.
I agree. Yeah,
But you could call it out now, right? So those same people could call it out now and could say, man, I feel sort of icky about Brett Myers.
Yeah, they could.
And Allen Iverson.
But most people don't think about Brett Myers anymore. You know what I mean?
It's it just came up because of that one. Jimmy did, though. He thought it was a interesting
thing.
Jimmy don't like that. All right, clue number four. Today we will get our first qualifier sometime after the bottom of the hour. Clue number four for our trip to Vegas, brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, Iron Mountain Men's Health, the all-new Parks Bet Parks app, and also Window Nation. The last clue is latex.
Hey now.
Latex is the last clue.
If
you put all four clues together, you should remember something about the John Kincaid Show that becomes memorable.
That's what I like to do. I like to hook up with guys.
Well, those four clues will come into play coming up at I'd say another 15 minutes or so. Yes. We told Vince Rizzuto from Philly Sports Trips he better be bringing something for us today. Something to the table, and I wanted a gift for you guys. So that's on the table right off the bat. Plus, Sweet 16 is set and more, and we'll get our first qualifier for the game show that will change Philly Sports Radio forever coming up in 2 weeks. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You want to watch basketball. You want to eat wings. You want to drink beer. Now, you can do that at home, or you can do it at Hooters. Because at Hooters, it's the official hangout for wings, beer, Hooters girls, and game day. And the Hooters girls sent me an email and said, John, we missed the guys. Where have they been? If you don't know where the nearest location is, go to northeasthooters.com and check it out for yourself. Northeast Hooters has all the locations for you. Now, you may want to go visit the Hooters girls in person, and I would suggest that's a good thing to do. But if you want to be the real MVP of your at-home basketball watch party, grab Hooters to go. You can online order at HootersToGo.com, and you can then bring all of the great things, the traditional or boneless wings, the seafood, the sandwiches, the salad. It's awesome, and you're going to love it. NortheastHooters.com, find the location nearest you. Place your order to go at HootersToGo.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
been a spirited Monday on the Jackie Cage Show. Thanks to Huntington Valley Bank, the fast-growing best bank for your business, celebrating 150 years as a top contender in local banking. We appreciate them being a part of the Jackie Cage Show. Question for Jamie, Bob, and Pat. Price is Right edition. Closest without going over. The average quarterback in the NFL attempts how many passes in an entire season over 30 yards? The average starting quarterback in the NFL.
Air yards, 30.
How is the average NFL quarterback throws less than how many passes in a year over 30 yards?
Throws it over 30.
I'll go 200.
Oh, 200? God, I think that's really high. 45.
I was going to go 60.
12.
Wow.
12.
Yeah, think about it. But I mean, you're lucky if you get one a game.
12.
Starting quarterback?
Yes. Average. So you got to average across the whole league.
I was thinking 12. Like average four a game.
How about that? 12.
So I win.
The number jumps off.
I win.
No, you went way over. You're way over. Price
yeah, but
right
I'm the closest.
Everybody, that doesn't matter.
The three idiots, I'm closest, so I win.
Well, you're an idiot, but it's a
dumb zero. Dumber. But I'm the least dumb of the three. Fair way to say
ESPN
it.
ESPN stats and information, that's wild.
That is wild. I figured.
Because I think of big arm.
I think, I was trying to think of your average game, and so I was like, you probably see one. So I was
minimum.
Like, there's 16.
And you maybe see a lot of time you see it after a half.
And then I multiplied it by two just to be generous.
You see it after a half, before a half or at the end of
but
a game.
But it's not that common.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's not even 13 a game. Not even 13 per team a year.
That's pretty wild.
That's wild. So it's just a thing. Okay, and I ask you all right now, any interest at all if it was a easy acquisition to improve your quarterback position with Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan is due a roster bonus in 6 hours and 25 minutes, and he's on the trade block, potentially. Any interest? You could get.
You have to inherit his salary?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I'd be good because of the salary number.
Yeah. If they were picking up the salary and you just had to give like a fifth or sixth rounder, sure.
Well, they're not picking up the salary.
Yeah.
He's better than what you got, though.
Yes, he is.
He's distinctly better than what you got.
But his number is huge.
Yeah, it's too huge.
No,
you're totally out of that, right? All right, I want you to call now the contest line. 610-263-0975, right?
No, it's 215.
215, I'm sorry.
215-263-0975. 215-263-0975.
I want you to call right now if you've listened to the four clues this morning. I'm going to get you lined up on the phones. Do not talk to Connor about what your guess is.
The last one was...
Just take the names.
It's erotic.
It was. Don't say anything about what the last one is because they had to be listening. Erotic. Four clues were given this morning. You have to be able to tell us what the memorable moment is from the John Kincaid Show that matches with that. If you are the winner and you can do it, you will be a qualifier, one of the 10 people that will take part in our game show to see who goes to Las Vegas. And this is Price is Right music, Bob, just so it really gets to you.
It's horrible.
I love it. All right, we'll line up the callers and get them together. We welcome in Vince Rizzuto, our buddy from Philly Sports Trips. And I said, Vince, you better be coming with something for the audience or something as a gift. And you brought rubber bracelets.
Attaboy.
You brought rubber bracelets that say Philly Sports Trips on them. So you even found a way to just promote your own company. And while you're potentially giving us something.
Good morning, guys. That
Hi,
was
Vince.
The thing in my pocket for you, John. The thing
you're
the
lucky
listeners.
It was just that.
The thing for the listeners is much better. You know, at the request of a lot of people, we are offering a party package that want a party with the crew in Vegas. And there's people already out there. They already have their flight, their hotel. They want to meet everyone from the station. So we have that. It's available on the website now.
Okay.
You can just buy the party package. And today only, the next 24 hours, code Fanatic is going to give you 10% off that. And it's also going to get you $100 off the full package if you want to join us for the full package.
Okay, so it's promo code Fanatic. You can get on that. And you can go to the two parties. We're gonna have two really nice events. We had the pregame party was spectacular. The happy hour was great. The pregame party was absolutely spectacular. And I know you guys are going to scheme up something awesome for us.
People loved the Daylight Beach Club party.
Oh, my gosh.
It was incredible. We had over 300 Eagles fans there, open premium bar. The only thing we didn't have that day was the pool was not open. This year, the pool will be open. We're going to have our own cabanas. We're going to be there.
It's on. Is that will that be draft day?
That's going to be Friday.
Friday, the second day of the
second day.
So we're celebrating the first round picks, hanging out, shooting the bull about that, and then we're partying before the second round.
Correct.
That is absolutely awesome. Vince Rizzuto, Philly Sports Trip. So the it is Fanatic. It's Fanatic. The keyword Fanatic. Saves you $100 off the whole trip and 10% off of the thing there.
Yep.
Have you been listening to the clues this morning?
I have not. I've been on the phone with Joe Z and talking to Bob Cab.
Why are you talking to Joe Z? I mean, as far as this.
Joe just wants somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
We gave you four friends. Clues. I'm not going to recap them because other people have waited on the line, and hopefully you get this right. The first caller who can identify a memorable moment from the John Kincaid Show can do this for us. Nelson in Glen Olden. How are you, hey, Nelson? Good morning. Nelson, you heard the clues. You heard wings. You heard odd. You heard eating. And then you heard latex. What was it?
It has to be when Pat brought out his wingy eating gloves.
Nelson, you are our first qualifier. Nelson in Glen Olden. You are our first contestant. Nelson, you are going to be involved in the biggest sports game show ever to hit Philly Sports Radio coming up in 2 weeks, okay? And you have a 1 in 10 chance to bring a friend, you and a friend, to Las Vegas. Do you know who's going with you should you win?
First choice has to be the wife.
Okay.
But, you know, I have backup plans.
All right, there you go. Maybe she'll let you go with a buddy. You never know.
Yeah.
Hey, Nelson, I'm going to put you on hold. Congratulations. Steve in Morrisville was the next person on hold. Got to be on your toes. You have another chance tomorrow, Steve. 9 more chances to qualify for a seat in the game show. I've always wanted to be a game show host there, Vince.
You'll be great.
We're going to have fun.
That was really convincing, Vince.
I'll be good. You'll be great.
Yeah.
You'll be great.
Can't wait to
I always wanted to be on The Price is Right.
You can go, and act like an idiot.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think you would, because that's what they all do.
Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad was on it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he was a contestant.
When he first got out to L.A., he was
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
do you know who was discovered on The Price is Right and then has had a long-time career on game shows?
Bob Barker.
No good try, though. Vanna White. Ah. She was a contestant on The Price is Right, and she got spotted, and then they decided to make her make her a model, and then they gave it a speaking part, and the rest is history. Vanna White's loaded. Her legs, by the way, are Lloyd's of London insured.
So are Mary Hart's.
So somebody looked at her and said, I'll bet you she could turn a letter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, they were looking for someone at the time. That could work.
Now she just presses a screen.
I know. She doesn't even have to do it anymore.
So, Vince, you will...
$70 million net worth, according to the internet.
You're going to be going to the draft by yourself, right?
Yes.
Your bride will not be making this trip.
No.
Are you sure?
No.
That means more time to hang out with you guys.
Is she sure?
Okay, you're sure. I think she's very sure of it.
She's sure.
Because you have a pregnant wife.
Correct, yeah. And you know, my daughter is turning 2 next week. Giovanna's turning 2. We just got back from Clearwater, and the whole family went.
Good.
So they got their trip. They were on the beach.
And that's it.
And that's it for now.
Now it's about Dad's work.
Exactly.
I want you focused in Vegas. It's a work trip. There's not really, the fun isn't the big thing for us. We're just there to facilitate our listeners having
fun. Honey, do you think I want to go to Vegas? No, but I have to.
PhillySportsTrips.com. Use promo code Fanatic. Save $100 today on the entire package. 10% off the party package. So if you already have your own plans to be there, you get a great deal with that. Vince, we love you. We'll talk to you soon, man.
You are the best.
Next time, bring Rivages.
Is the professor of fun and joy going to be there also, Mike?
Where you have to convince him. I think this discount code might help.
It might convince him.
Good deal. But the real reason that I'm really excited to be there is Mr. Jamie will be there.
Jamie will be there. And we're not talking cardboard cutout, Jamie.
Yeah, it's nice not to miss one.
Good job, Vince. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
These kids, they really get in the
way. Use that promo code Fanatic. They do.
Yeah.
They're really annoying, these kids. Sweet 16 is set. And yesterday I was offending the crowd at Molly's baptism party afterwards that I was not rooting for Villanova like the whole house was.
Where was the baptism?
The baptism was at St. Denis.
Which is where?
In Ardmore.
I know where that is.
Which is close to Villanova.
Everybody was rooting for Villanova.
Yeah, good.
They shouldn't be. No, they shouldn't.
It's a Philly school. Big Dan,
you would have thought Big Dan like was a valedictorian of Villanova the way Peacocks around like, boy, because his buddy Jay Wright.
Yeah.
You know, please stop it.
Everybody's buddy with him. He's a gentleman. Pat, yeah, a scholar.
Not everybody has to.
Greatest coach out there.
He is a great coach. Pat and I aren't saying that.
I don't want to meet him, ever. because I don't want to like him.
I don't want to like him. I do not want to like Jay Wright.
I respect him. I respect what he does. I don't want to like him.
Every day, everywhere I went on the main line, I said it when I was living there in the apartment. Oh, Jay Wright comes in here. He's like the greatest guy. Oh, do you know Jay Wright gets his dry cleaning done here? He's so nice. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not rooting for him, but I'm not blatantly rooting against him, even though I may have rooted for Ohio State.
I just want to go where Aaron McKee goes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Those are my kind of people, Bobby.
The NIT?
Well, no, they
he just Tanya Harding. Yeah, Darren,
really? No, I didn't. Why? I was asking where did they go?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't get this not rooting for the local team, though.
No, it's a
not
college.
Hard to figure out, man.
You root for your own university. You don't root for someone else's, ever.
You can't say that.
No, you can. Who makes sense.
You on board with right now? You can't say
no,
it.
No, I don't need...
And don't say you adopted Pat into Temple.
I don't do two teams.
Okay, first of all, Bob, and like I hate this argument that you always throw me under the bus with.
I'm not throwing you under the bus at all.
Let me finish. I like one team. One. Okay?
That's cool.
He is talking about the people
that
will sit there, and whatever local team is doing good out of the five, they bandwagon hop.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I have never, ever wavered. I like one team. And if that team isn't in it, I'm not cheering for other teams.
I don't.
It's hard to figure out.
I don't have a tie to.
Under the bus with it.
I really wasn't throwing you under
you
the
do.
Bus.
You do every time you bring up me with it, as if I don't cheer, as if I'm wavering. I've never wavered. I never cheered for St. Joe's. I never cheered for Villanova. You know why? Because they recruit against Temple.
And by the way,
I'm a Templesman.
Can we just
throw John under the bus for saying that people shouldn't really go to schools that they didn't go to, but he says you and him are on the same side.
You were using me as the weapon. I don't appreciate it.
By the way, can we also say this and stop with the storyline? It is in no way Jay Wright going up against Phil Martelli.
Back off, War Child, seriously.
Phil Martelli is not coaching Michigan. Phil Martelli is an assistant at Michigan. Can we stop with that? Because I know I'm going to be tired of that before Thursday night at 7:30 when that game goes off. Oh, it's Phil Martelli versus... No, it's not. Phil Martelli doesn't have a head coaching job.
If it was, then Villanova would roll by 25.
If it was, it'd be a story. And they'd probably crush them.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
It's not hard to figure out who's the better coach there.
They'd probably crush him.
Oh, Bobby's real quiet with that one.
I mean, I didn't go to a local school. So
I hope they all do well.
I pull for all of them. And right now, I'm pulling for the local kids. Isaiah Wong and another kid from Miami.
You can't go wrong with that.
Brockerton out in Iowa State. I mean, you got to pull for the local kids. That's no different than rooting for a big five team.
I don't have to root for that kid. He should have went to Temple.
Yeah, I'm with you, James. Yeah, I like seeing Isaiah Wong throw it down.
Joy. Local is kind of a stretch with Isaiah Wong.
That's a real.
What do you mean?
He
went to Bonner.
He's from North Jersey.
Yeah, but he's from North Jersey.
He went to Notre Dame.
He played Catholic League high school basketball.
You and I went to see him play.
I saw him play at LaSalle. Yeah.
And going to Bonner should have been a disqualifier.
It's a tri-state area.
I was.
Counts.
It's New Jersey. You're from Jersey.
Bonner will go to no lengths to try to be better than O'Hara. They'll do anything they possibly can. They'll even go to North Jersey to do it.
I mean, if you can get them, why not?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You can convince them.
Yeah, never had a transfer going to O'Hara.
This saying from a guy who brought in as a head coach at Downingtown High School, brought a goalie in from Arizona to be our starting goalie. And we beat LaSalle and the Flyers cut with him.
There you go.
And everybody was like, that's cheating.
All right, Al Bundy.
That's cheating. Come on. No, I wasn't Travis.
Polkai, never forget.
Let's do it. Hey, Sixers pregame show tonight. Beers with Bob. 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we're going to beat the Urban Saloon at 21st and Fairmount. I'll be there. I think Connor Thomas is going to come up and join us tonight. So we'll be hanging out. Maybe he'll be our special guest, John. But Corona sponsoring, and I'm sponsoring it. And I do believe, as every Beers with Bob, we will have two tickets to give away to a future Sixers
game.
Not
bad.
Yes.
And if you heard this weekend, Connor Thomas, we should be very proud of our boy. He is doing a fantastic job hosting on the weekends. Really, really good job. He had a fun show this weekend. So check it out. Check out all the weekend shows.
Yeah, he's got to do something to make up for that haircut.
I mean, the haircut is I lost a bet haircut. That is honestly. Has Cuz seen it?
Yeah, he's seen it.
He's had to have. I would have seen think. Connor's haircut. I don't know that he's paid attention to it.
Yeah, maybe
Connor,
not.
Connor, come around. So
I was with Connor this morning.
Did you pay attention?
I literally had a conversation with him for 8 minutes.
And you don't know the haircut?
No,
wait till you see it.
Another man does it. That was another man's haircut.
Yeah, you do.
This one's pretty bad.
You noticed this
same
one.
I think the same way you do.
Dave Hollins.
What's wrong with it?
It's the mullet.
It looks good.
It's the Dave Hollins mullet.
Yeah, it's fine.
Cuz likes it. Yeah, it's Cuz approved.
He's a ball player, my boy.
Oh, no, he's not.
Hey, man, he's not.
Don't encourage him.
Seriously.
He looks good.
My gosh.
I swear to God, you could walk in here
naked.
Yeah, I wouldn't notice. Like, I don't notice. Would you notice that stuff?
I was the first one to notice his hair.
The mullet?
I mean, a mullet stands out. It's not like he just got a haircut.
I
told the story on here all the time. I could cover a Sixers game and go back, write a story on the game, and somebody could say, did you like their uniforms tonight? And I wouldn't know what color they wore, red, white, or blue.
Yeah, what is that? You and I had the same thing.
I don't know why that is. But
can tell with 2:12 left
in the game. I can remember every play.
I can remember exactly
but you can't what they're wearing.
Yeah, that doesn't fit. Right.
No, it doesn't
fit. It's the truth, but it's weird.
By the way, watch the Mythbusters on that. It's fact that some things don't fit in your brain depending on where you file them.
Wow.
So you lose detail.
Is that a Mythbuster? That's awesome.
It's on Mythbusters. Yeah. Yes, that's one. It if you are a, like,
if you trivialize it.
If you keep trivial knowledge in your head, people will say, I can remember every teacher I ever had. Ever had.
You can?
Yes. From first grade on. Every teacher I ever had.
That's insane.
It's insane. And my wife will say, and if I told you to bring this tomorrow to work, you'd forget it.
Because I remember every teacher I had.
Things don't fit. I can remember. If I have to go to every class, every grade, I can go, okay, I know who I had.
I remember my friends' phone numbers from when we were growing up.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Do you remember your... Yeah. Do you
it's
remember
weird.
Your
brain is
five?
So weird,
do you remember
it?
Your code?
DW4.
Do you remember your code, though? That it had a word?
A what?
Your phone number had a word.
Like Greenwood 75312?
Yes. We call 805.
You were HO.
DW4.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, exactly.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Now, Jamie's too young. Jamie doesn't remember that.
No.
That they used to do phone numbers like on TV and everything.
Yeah.
Greenwood 75312. Yeah.
There was a thing. So the letters would coincide with the first two numbers. Like 3334. Was DE4.
356.
The letters
five.
On the.
I lived.
No, I get it.
I had a 356 number growing
was
up.
Was HO5.
And we were Elgin. If you lived in Broomall or Newtown Square, it was Elgin 6. And people would say, Elgin 6.
Yeah. Seems like a very overcomplicated process.
I agree. I don't understand.
No, you're right.
What was the benefit?
I don't know that there was a benefit.
That's the thing. Like, what's your number? HO5?
Yeah, then 60 years later, we could talk about it on the radio.
Did you
that
go
was
to
the
Crash Brothers Men's Store?
No.
No? Yeah, you'd be bananas.
Yeah, I remember the commercials were
now,
amazing.
Are you ready to throw bouquets to John Middleton at least for a day?
Yeah, I did exactly
You've never
what I
been
wanted.
A giant detractor of him. No. I take it.
No.
Was it listening to you?
No, I've never.
No.
No, honestly, here's my point. Good job, John. Way to go, Mids. You had to do it. You had to do it. Bryce told you had to do it. He did it. He got it done. And
I got both of them.
I'm so excited. Because this is the team in that ballpark that you got to build. You got to be mashers.
It's awesome.
Mashers.
This is
what it is.
I'm betting overs. I got that Bet Parks app.
Nice.
I'm betting overs.
Nice.
I'm betting overs, baby.
Over. That's what it is. And look at that lineup. I just all weekend having fun drawing it up.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Did you come to any consensus?
I think they're going to put Reese in the two, right? So I think they're going to wind up going with Schwarber. I do.
See, so I want Segura or JT.
Yeah, I don't want to tore up that.
And I put Harper too. So see, it's funny. Yeah.
But have you ever remembered a Phillies lineup that could be this?
No. Well, you're going to go left, right, aren't you?
Mine didn't come out like that.
You got to go with Schwarber leading off. He's the only guy who's that.
And then go righty.
On base versus lefties is 400. He dominates left-handed pitching.
It is. We got a gift this last week. We got a gift now. The Phillies are relevant.
Yeah.
And you talked about we got a spring. We got a spring. The day the Harden trade is.
We got a spring and we got a summer.
We have a summer and it's got to work. And we need some good health. We're assuming good health. But if you get good health, this team should be in it.
And look,
this should be in the race all summer long.
Without a doubt. The way that the whole thing is expanded, the playoffs. No, it's going to be a blast. Listen, they now match up with the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers line is
one for
formidable.
Six, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They really do. Pitching, you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Hey, listen to Cuz Radio today. Don't miss a minute of it. There's going to be some partying going on. Support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research saves lives. Mitch Stoller from the AACR, who joined us on Friday, thanked everybody for their donations on Friday, and we appreciate them very, very much. We will be back tomorrow at 6. Sixers and the Heat tonight. You hear it on the Fanatic. We'll have all the fallout from that. Join us tomorrow morning at 6. Have a great day, everybody. Don't change that dial.
If you enjoy sports, you'll probably enjoy wagering on sports. And I'm here to tell you that you should be doing so at BetMGM. They call the king of sports books, and there's a reason for that. And it's offers like this one. So listen up. A free, risk-free bet up to $1,000. All you have to do is head to BetMGM.com or simply download the BetMGM app. And when they ask you to enter a bonus code, you just type in Pat Egan. That's it. If you type in Pat Egan, your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. And then you'll start poking around the site. You'll start looking around the app and you'll realize, wow, they really are the king because they have everything. They have every sport. They have every kind of wager, and they have the daily boosted odds specials, the player props, the live betting options, and the parlay selection features. They have it all. But they want to get you started off right. They want to give you something risk-free that you don't have to sweat it out over. So hop on over to the website or download the app. And don't forget, when you enter the bonus code Pat Egan, that's my name, enter that name, your first bet is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager in New Jersey, Pennsylvania only. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification, eligibility requirements. Rewards issued with knowledge eligible free bets or site credit. Free bets expire within 7 days of issuance. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.